listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, everybody. Good evening as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. What do you have to do? Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Plank with the night off because Oklahoma softball is playing into the wee hours of the night. Torres sitting in. How you doing tonight, Torres?
I'll say this. Shout out to our voiceover guy. Because I didn't know I was coming in until about 2 hours ago, but that guy, I don't know how, he must not take a day off because he knew I was in before I did.
Yeah, that's really me. I just change my voice. I just say it like that. I just go, hey, and sitting in for Chris Plank, it's Aaron Torres. See, it sounds the same.
You're not nearly as professional or talented as that guy, I'm sorry to say. The truth hurts sometimes, Arnie.
You picked a great night to be
sure
filling
did.
In last week. Plank was filling in for you. This week, you're filling in for Plank, and I don't think you could have picked a better night. So if you want to get a part of the show, you can get a hold of us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. Heck, we might as well take phone calls if you want to call in 877-99-ON-FOX, 877-996-6369. Let me start by saying this. Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors.
I knew
Warriors.
You were going to go there.
I mean,
you jerk.
You just won the NBA championship. If I'm a Toronto Raptor fan, I am kicking myself that you let this one slip away with no Kevin Durant. Steph Curry, way less than 100%. The guy was sick or whatever was wrong. Klay Thompson getting hurt. Boogie Cousins less than 100%. You're playing at home. And you had a 11 or 13 point lead in the first half. You were dominating. You win that game. You win the championship. And you let it slip right through your fingers. Congratulations. You just choked away the NBA championship. That's what they just did, Torres.
This is why I hate working with you, Arnie.
Yeah, I know that. I know.
I mean, amongst many reasons.
Well, I have to say it the way it is because I know you won't. So.
What do you mean you know I won't? Yeah. Stop. Enough with your nonsense. So this was my problem after game one. Everyone said, oh, the Warriors just didn't play well. Like, is it possible the Raptors actually just played really well? And that's kind of how I feel about this game. Like, yeah, Klay went down with injury. Yeah, Steph has some weird third world illness that we all have to forgive him for. Every time Steph Curry misses an open jumper, there's an excuse. But why can't we just give credit to guys for stepping up? Boogie Cousins, I would argue, and I know he scored 50-plus points in many games, or not many games, a couple times throughout his career. I would argue maybe the best game of his career relative to the stakes. 11 points, 10 boards, 6 assists, 2 blocks. Quinn Cook hit some big shots. Alphonso McKinney. Andrew Bogut didn't even play in game one.
Aaron, do you understand? That's like when LeBron played for Miami, that's like LeBron, Bosch, and Dwayne Wade all getting hurt and not playing, and Miami's still winning. Do you understand?
Why can't
Steph? Was hurt. Klay left.
Steph wasn't hurt.
Kevin Durant, he was sick. He had something. He obviously wasn't 100%. The guy even said it. And he didn't even have a great game. And you lose at home with the NBA championship on the line. Shame on you. Shame on you. Let's put an end to all this Toronto's a great team talk.
Wow.
And that Kawhi.
You're out of control.
All this compared to Michael Jordan and all that baloney. They just let the championship slip through their fingers. Say it the way it is, Torres.
You're out of your mind. You know that? You're really a crazy person. And not just because of the Odd Couple or whatever the clips were.
The
newlywed
yes.
game. You are an insane person. You really are. Why can't we just... listen, yes, the Raptors could have won this game. Yes, it would have completely altered the entire trajectory of this series. But the way that I look at it with the Raptors is they just missed a couple wide open shots down the stretch. It was 106-98 for like 4 straight minutes, and they just couldn't come up with a shot. They finished 11 for 38 from 3, and it wasn't as though all those shots were super highly contested and there's no way, and oh my goodness, how did they miss that? They just missed wide open shots. A couple of those go in, they win this game. I think if you're a Raptors fan, you should feel good.
No, you can't have that attitude. You have to understand they were playing for the NBA championship.
They got 5 more games to win 4.
They were playing with the championship at home, and Kawhi Leonard, even though we had 34 points, let's be honest, 16 comes from the foul line.
Yep.
He didn't have a great shooting night at
Isn't
all.
Isn't that a positive if you're a Raptors fan?
Why is all that a positive?
You just said that, their best player didn't play
team,
well.
Well, oh, but that's okay. But when I tell you no Kevin Durant, no Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry not 100%, that means nothing.
Why can't they both be true?
Because Toronto was the one playing at home. Toronto was the one up one game to nothing. And if Toronto wins that game and goes up 2-0, let's be honest, they pretty much win the championship.
With Kevin Durant coming back, you don't think they could win 4 or 5 with Kevin Durant?
Breaking news.
Yeah, get the breaking news signal. I just called it. Listen, if Chris Haynes, who's the best NBA insider out there, says that he's coming back for game 3, I'm trusting Chris Haynes.
I said he was going to be out the rest of the series. Now,
Arnie Spanier, NBA insider.
Thank you. Yeah. Now that the series is tied at 1 apiece, I wouldn't expect him to come back to game 3. I expect him to rest another game and get, 5 days in there and maybe come back for game 4, depending on what happens in 3. Why would you rush it back if you're Kevin Durant now?
Well, I wouldn't call it rushing it back if you're healthy.
If you were down 2-0, I would say, okay, maybe there's a chance, but now that it's 1 apiece, why bring it back now?
Well, I mean, if you're healthy, I think you play. It was DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins came. Why did he come back for the finals and not the Western Conference finals? Because he wasn't healthy. Why did he come back for game 1 instead of game 2? It's because he was healthy, so they put him in.
No. Let's be honest. He's not 100%. It's just
sure.
this is about as far as he could play. Because maybe if he comes back a little bit early, then he's completely ineffective. This is, you know, he's probably, about 80% out there, and that's good enough against Toronto.
Who, DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's good enough. Why can't he just have had a good game?
Look at you, just giving praise to everybody. Everybody, yeah, why don't we just give a trophy to everybody? Kumbaya, let's do that.
Listen, I thought that 8 winners of the spelling bee wasn't
you
enough.
You loved it. Yeah,
I think they all should have gotten
a winner. Everybody should be a winner.
They shouldn't have even had a competition. Once they got there, just give everybody a gold medal. No, I mean, listen.
Don't you understand, if you're a Raptors fan now, you're sick to your stomach? Where's Drake? By the way, where's Drake? I don't hear him popping off saying Draymond's trash. This was it. I don't think it sunk in. Maybe in 24 hours you're going to sit back and watch the highlights and say, damn, they had a 13-point lead in the first half. This game was over. They were going to go up 2-0. NBA championships there. It's because they go back to Golden State and Klay's banged up and no Kevin Durant and Steph Curry's not 100% and Andre Iguodala's not 100% and Boogie Cousins not 100%. I mean, you've got this. All you have to do is win one there and this is over.
So let me play devil's advocate then.
Devil advocate all you want.
If Andre Iguodala doesn't hit that 3, it's a 2-point game. It's a 2-point game, and you have the ball back.
Yes.
But even if he does, so it was literally a
bad shot. By the way, I wanted to say that.
I actually agree with you on that.
I think he should have waited 3 more seconds to shoot it because he shot it with 4 seconds left on the shot clock.
So regardless, it was a 1 possession game with under 5 seconds to go. And as you said, Klay Thompson, I don't think he's coming back for game 3.
Oh, KD, whoa.
I think he's got a bad hamstring. I mean, you can't just play on that. But so you, under your presumption, KD's not coming back for game 3 because now it's a 1-1 series.
Can I amend that?
I mean, if you want to. I mean, you're already backtracking, and we're not even 1 segment into the show. Yes, you're already changing things?
Yes, I want to amend it. If Klay doesn't play game 3, then maybe Kevin Durant comes back and plays game 3.
Okay, so let's say one of them is out. So if it's a 1 possession game and you missed, by my count, 3 straight threes at one point, wide open, uncontested. I mean, I'm not talking about contested tough shots. 3 straight threes in the final 4 minutes that would have cut the lead. Why can't you feel good going to Golden State saying we should have had that one?
What are you talking about, feel good? This isn't junior high basketball.
But it's also not the NCAA tournament. One game doesn't define your whole season.
You know we're keeping score, right? We're not turning off the scoreboard, giving everybody a trophy at the end of the day. What do you mean you feel good? What do you understand? What do you mean you got to feel good? This is the NBA. You know what the NBA means? Not for long. It was the NFL. This is the NBA, man. Come on now. It's one game apiece.
Arnie, I know you were busy sitting on the bench backing up Steve Kerr in high school, so I know you don't have a lot of big game experience, but the bottom line is that one game in the NBA, in the not-fun league, does not define a season, okay? They had a chance to win. They were in good position. Did the Warriors—by the way, I must have missed this, because after Game 1, did they hand the Raptors a trophy?
Oh, you missed that then.
Yeah.
Because everybody did. All of Twittersphere handed him the Twittersphere trophy.
And you're doing the same thing for the Warriors after game two. You're handing a trophy.
Well, because I know it's over now.
Oh, you know. You don't even know your wife's favorite pizza. Stop.
I know.
You don't know her favorite TV show. Stop.
Yeah, but at least I know this. This is what I get paid the big money for. This is why I do the show. This is my job.
And knowing that the series is over. Even though you said it was going to be a four-game sweep.
You picking Toronto in this one?
I'm saying that it's too early to definitively know.
Oh, look at that, Mr. Millennial.
No, this is, you know what, this is
too early.
This is Mr. Intelligent in that we have five more games to determine who's going to win three of them, and I'm not going to overreact to game two, just like people shouldn't have overreacted to game one.
All right, we're getting a lot of tweets. Please, people. You think it's over? Did Toronto blow the chance to win the championship? Or as Torres says, it's just one game. They have to feel good about themselves that they only lost by five because, I mean, my goodness, this is like a one seed against a 16 seed. They're going to go home and feel good about themselves.
No, the 16 seed goes home and their season's over. The Raptors don't go home. They just got to win three out of five. They were down 2-0 to the Bucks, and they were down 2-1 to the 76ers. Keep that in mind. Just remember it, Arnie, okay?
Aaron underscore, well, this is the Golden State Warriors. Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. I don't think you quite understand what was at stake. Not only the NBA championship, I'm watching the first half. They're pulling away. If they go ahead, run away with this, go up 2-0 with Klay not playing in game three, is what you're saying, possibly no Kevin Durant. Not only does Toronto win the championship, the bigger question is, are we seeing the end of the Golden State dynasty? I want to get that to that.
You just handed them a championship.
Wait
now
a
you're
minute.
Saying the dynasty's
over?
I got a
lot to get to for crying out loud.
It's past your bedtime, man.
Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could be 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel, which is why you have no idea why this game was so big. We'll get into that when we come back. Torres in for Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
From a car landing on a roof to a car landing in a pool, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, good evening, everyone. Aaron Torres sitting in for Plank tonight. I'm Arnie Spanier here on Fox Sports Radio. You want to get a hold of us? Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. And by the way, you see, that's why Klay Thompson got hurt. You saw the play on why he pulled his hamstring or whatever the injury they want to call it, is because he was trying to kick out his legs after the shot to draw the foul.
Yep.
And he landed awkwardly, and he injured himself doing that, Torres.
Oh, I know. No, it's... I don't want to call it an epidemic. That feels a little dramatic. But listen, I mean, this is what happens. These guys try to get fouls. They're not. This is what drives me nuts about James Harden. Half the time, right. I don't even think he's trying to make a shot. I think he's trying to get fouled. It's like, what are you doing?
Well, Steph Curry does the same thing. Don't act like he's not guilty of the same violation.
Yeah. By the way, to continue our conversation from last segment, per Chris Haynes, who I called the best insider out there, Klay Thompson suffered a hamstring injury, tells Yahoo Sports that he'll be fine. Quote, no, I don't see myself missing game three.
Wow. Well, me being the athlete that I am.
Sure.
You're not the basketball player that I am. I knew Durant wasn't going to come back in this series, and so far I've been right on that. Until he gets back on the court, I'm going to say I'm right. I don't know if he's going to be able to come back in three. That was a bad one. Did you see him?
Did you just say, until he comes back, I'm just not going to believe? That's like saying, yeah, until the sun comes out, I'm not going to believe it's sunny.
No, because I don't believe the reports. Actually, what I'm saying is I don't believe the reports that he's coming back. I still think he's out for the rest of the series. But did you see Klay after the game when he went in the tunnel area, whatever you want to call it, shaking his hands of the teammates coming in? He could barely walk. I mean,
that's
he had ice on the hamstring, and he was barely walkable. It was like really, really bad.
Well, and that was why I said last segment that I'd be shocked if he played in game three. And I know he's telling Chris Haynes this and that and the other thing. Hamstrings are no joke. And the thing with these guys is you got to remember, I know you know this, but five straight NBA finals takes a toll on people. I mean, we're talking about 100-plus games for five straight seasons, and I know these guys don't play all 82 games, but Klay's 29 now, and obviously that's not old, but it's not young by NBA standards. When he played five straight years, he's played Team USA basketball in the Olympics. I don't think that it's just this, oh, I'm going to ice it up for a day and I'll be good to go. So that's something to watch for sure.
You're actually playing right into what I said last segment, and then you look to me like I'm some type of moron.
What's that?
Well,
you are a moron.
Well, thank you. But, you know, when I said, look, this one game was so important, you're acting like it's, you know, just, you know, not that big of a deal and that Toronto should be proud of themselves. I don't know. Are you moving to Toronto and you want to get a job there? Am I losing something? Mike tweets in, I wish Aaron was a professional coach. I look forward to his press conference after his team lost in embarrassing fashion when he starts passing out orange slices and telling them that they're great and everything's going to be okay singing Kumbaya.
I'd say get some vitamin C in you and get ready for game three. Listen, Mike and Arnie, I know you think this is the NCAA tournament and one game costs you your season, but The Raptors, this is what they've done all playoffs. They were down 2-1 to the 76ers. They were down 2-0 to the Bucks. I'm not saying they're going to win the series. I'm just saying you had a million wide open shots down the stretch. There's no reason to think that if one or two of them goes in, you don't win the game. Clean some things up. They were great defensively. I think they're going to be fine.
And you actually made my point when I said, let's reverse it. Let's say Golden State had lost. Been down 2-0, an injured Klay Thompson, obviously an injured Kevin Durant, Boogie less than 100%, who knows about Andre Iguodala. You're down 2-0 going home, and as you said, you know, going to five championships in a row takes its toll. What happens if Kevin Durant would have left or is going to leave this Golden State team? You think that Steph and Klay could go back to being the primary guys and have their bodies and the toll take on it for an 82-game season, then through the playoffs, they needed Kevin Durant. That's why I said that the dynasty could have been over had they lost that game, but it still could be over if Kevin Durant leaves.
I mean, you're the guy that picked the Warriors to win the finals 4-0 after they swept the Blazers.
They could still win 4-1, but go ahead.
So why would the dynasty be over, especially if Kevin Durant doesn't come back?
If Kevin Durant doesn't come back, as you said, taking its toll during the course of a season, the injuries, and let's be honest, Steph is not the most durable player, especially because of his size.
I'm just, by the way, I said this on Twitter. I am so impressed that he survived Darwinism with all his illnesses and injuries and nicks and cuts. I mean, this guy, every time there's a strong breeze, I have to hear a report that, you know, Steph Curry's battling some kind of whatever. I mean, I don't want to say he's brittle. I'm just kind of impressed. I think he's a miracle of modern medicine that he survived all of this evolution over the last 500 years.
That's sarcasm I'm hearing there. Wow.
I'm just saying, I've just never seen a player. Every time he misses an open jumper, oh, it's his ankle, oh, it's his this, oh, it's his that. It's like, you know, LeBron scores 53 points in the finals, it's still not enough, and he gets blamed. Steph misses one open jumper, and, oh, he's really under the weather today. Like, come on, stop.
You want to get a hold of us, Aaron in for Plank, Aaron _ Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius 1. 20-0 run, the longest run in the finals since the NBA-ABA merger, and you're going to tell me that Toronto's going to look at themselves and feel like they played a good game? A 20-0 run to start the second half when you had your foot on their jugular. You were still up by five at halftime. You're supposed to come out with everything to start the second half and try to put them away, and it got reversed on them, and they got boat raced to start the second half.
So let me ask you a question. If I had just told you, let's just take out teams. You know basketball, Arnie, because you played JV that one year. So let's.
Wow.
All right. I tell you one team was on the wrong end of a 20-0 run. And that same team also shot 11 for 38 from three. That's 28% for the math majors out there. And they had a chance to win the game in the final 5 seconds. Wouldn't you say that was a kind of a minor miracle and they were lucky to be in that position?
You don't think I could flip that on you? How about if I told you there was a team playing on the road, down by double digits in the first half, and that Clay got hurt and didn't come back, that Steph only had 23, that you got obviously nothing from Kevin Durant, and you only got 10 points from the bench, and you won? I mean, come on now. You would have thought that Golden State would have lost if I told you that before the game. You'd say, okay, they lost by double digits if I would have told you all that.
First of all, I don't know where you got 10 points from the bench from. Sean Livingston, or Quinn Cook had
9. Not
10,
I'm sorry. It was 25. I don't know why I said 10.
It's okay. It's all right.
Well, yeah. Whatever the bench points were. I mean, for Steph only to have 23, and for them to go ahead and have Clay with 25 and to lose him for like the last 10 minutes, you know, you would have thought that Toronto would have run away with this game, and they didn't. I really thought this was a chance, Aaron, for them not only to go up 2-0, but to say, hey, we've got a dominant hold on this series. We're winning this championship. We just need one more in Golden State, and this thing is pretty much done. And I think they let it slip right through their fingers.
Well, I do think you can call it a missed opportunity.
Definitely.
Yes, and I agree with you on that. I'm just not ready to say that the series is over because they lost a very winnable game, even though you bring up a lot of valid points in terms of the opportunities that they had to seal this win. They didn't. But I also think you can look at it from the opposite perspective and say, okay, literally if we make two more three-pointers, if we go, instead of going 11 for 38, we go 13 for 38, which is still like less than 33%, we win that game. I can't get that worked up knowing how close they were to actually winning that game.
No, you could tell if they feel good or if they don't feel good. You know, H-I-D-F. You know what I mean? H-I-D-F. You know what that is, right?
H-I-D-F.
How is Drake feeling? So, you know, that's what, how is Drake feeling? You know, if Drake's feeling bad, you know it was a missed opportunity. You like the way I made that? I'm here all week. Try the VO.
That was pretty impressive.
Thank
considering you didn't know who Drake was until like probably a week and a half ago. So, you know, he's a rapper, right? He's not just a fan. Like, he sings music and stuff.
Oh, he's not the owner? I thought he was the owner. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, he does kind of own Toronto. I mean, when you just kind of give the coach back rubs in the middle of the game, I mean, you do kind of just own the organization and or city.
He wasn't popping off calling Draymond Green trash or anything like that today, now, was he?
I mean, he might have been.
Well, they would have zoomed in on that. Dupree says, by the way, Philly and the Bucks are not defending champions, Aaron Torres. That is a good point. You act like getting by Philly and Milwaukee is the hardest thing in the world.
I mean, it's not easy.
Oh, come on.
I mean, these are professional basketball teams. I mean, Giannis is going to win the MVP. Philly has probably 4 All-Stars on their team. They didn't exactly beat – first of all, I would argue their path was significant – I don't want to say significant. It was tougher than the Warriors' path, who got the JV Portland Trailblazers in the Western Conference Finals.
Let me ask you, are there players you think more or less of because after what you've seen in the playoffs? Like if I said Giannis, you think more or less of him or just pretty much the same?
I think the same of Giannis, but I certainly think less of Kyrie. I think less of James Harden. I know he's not the reason they lost that series, but James Harden, at some point, you got to put up or shut up. You got to make some big shots. You talk about a team that blew an opportunity. They had 2 chances to beat the Warriors, 1 at home. I think less of Harden. I think less of Westbrook. So to answer your question, yeah, there are certainly people that
you know
I think
I want to get a little bit into that also. We'll continue going over game 2. Did Toronto blow a golden opportunity to put this thing away? But first, let's see what's trending with our buddy Steve DeSager. What's going on, DeSager?
Good evening, gentlemen. Golden State was scoreless for 5 minutes late in the game and still held on to win at Toronto in Game 2 of the NBA Finals tonight. 109-104, tying up the series at a game apiece. Klay Thompson limped off in the 4th after the awkward landing. A tight hamstring, the problem. He had 25 points. He scored 11 of the first 13 tonight for Golden State, keeping him in it in the first quarter. And yes, afterwards, he does say that he intends to play Game 3. In fact, he added to Rachel Nichols of ESPN that this is not as bad as his high ankle sprain that he suffered in last year's final, and quote, he didn't miss a start after that injury either, end quote. As for Steve Kerr at the postgame press conference.
You know, Clay could be half dead and he'd say we'll see. You know, he pulled his hamstring. He thinks it's minor, so I don't know what that means going forward. And Loon, something with his shoulder, and so we'll see. Sorry. That's all I got.
Kevon Looney of Golden State left with a bruised chest, is what they called it, tonight after a hard fall. Of course, Kevin Durant still out with a strained calf. And Steph Curry started 0 of 6 shooting from the floor, still finished with 23 points. And Golden State evens up the series, and the Warriors will host games 3 and 4 Wednesday and Friday. By the way, Golden State's trailed at halftime in 5 straight postseason games now.
Wow.
Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is tomorrow night. Kyle Busch won NASCAR's Pocono 400. Sloane Stephens of the U.S. advanced to the quarterfinals at the French Open. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Boston and David Price beat the Yankees and CC Sabathia tonight. 8-5 the final. Miami a 9-3 winner at San Diego. There was a delay in the third inning due to bees. Colorado won its 8th straight game, 5-1 over Toronto. The Dodgers won their 5th in a row. Their game with Philadelphia was scoreless in the 7th. LA 8-0 the final. The Dodgers home record 25-7 this year.
My Dodgers!
No, please don't curse them.
Yeah.
Just by comparison, and they pointed this out on the radio broadcast today, the Dodgers have 25 home wins. The Orioles have 18 wins total for the whole season. They lost at home 8-1 to San Francisco. With the worst record in the majors, the Orioles are 18-41. And yes, Chris Plank is out tonight, but Oklahoma and UCLA have advanced to the Softball World Series final to play each other.
I was rooting against them.
Starting tomorrow. Well, that's not a surprise. And back to the show in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Rafael Nadal advanced to the quarterfinals at the French Open. 38th time at a major in his career, he's advanced to at least the quarterfinals. Roger Federer next will play Stan Wawrinka, who won a match today that lasted over 5 hours. Arnie Spanier and Aaron Torres, back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, the Sagers. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. It's easy to save 15% or more in car insurance with Geico. All you have to do is go to geico.com or give them a call, 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, well, that's figuring out which way is easier. Torres in for Chris Plank. His Oklahoma Sooners had a late game today, so they'll go to the championship. He wasn't able to make it. I'm Arnie Spanier. Get a hold of us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Couple things real quick, Torres. Eddie says, Torres nailed it. Steph's the most pampered slash protected superstar in NBA history.
Yep.
Never his fault. Always some injury that he had to overcome. Aren't most all athletes someone injured going into the playoffs? Example, Kobe.
Yes. See, and this is my point, right? I mean, imagine if, like Doris Burke, and she does a great job, whatever. I'm not here to criticize her, but
right.
She did this long, just detailed, oh, he's under the weather, and blah, blah, blah. And it was like,
but that's her job, isn't that, if he was under the weather, to give us that news?
I mean, she made it sound like he had open-heart surgery 10 minutes before the game and was playing. That's all I'm saying. And I think he had a little flu, and I think his little belly hurt. He had a little tum-tum problem. And
my only point, spoiled milk or something? Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's just like, imagine LeBron. If before a game it came out, oh, LeBron is feeling under the weather, and they lost, and I know they didn't lose, but even if they won, it would be like, oh, LeBron, excuse this, excuse that. It's just like Steph just gets a pass for everything. He gets a pass for everything. It's unbelievable.
Are you also talking about like in fouls too, getting called, getting the benefit of the doubt, or no? That's different.
I think he gets the. I think
because he doesn't get as many as Harden does. Harden's like enemy, yeah. Public enemy number one when it comes to that.
That I don't disagree with.
Yeah.
No, I just think it's the way he's covered. And look, I'll be honest. I think it's because he has played up very smartly that his quote unquote brand is Family Guy. My kids. I bring my kids to the podium. I do a Facebook show with my kids. And I think like it's hard to criticize a guy that's really relatable, that's really likable. He's got his kids around. He's a good dad. He's a good husband. Like, whatever. I'm just saying. I think he gets a pass for a lot of stuff that other guys don't.
Warriors were 20 of 23 from the free throw line. Toronto 23 of 26. My question to you is: as the game was going on, I'm on Twitter. I'm reading what everybody's saying. I can't tell you how many times it came across when I put a tweet out, people would respond with, they're not going to win if the refs keep this up, if the refs this,
oh,
if
yeah.
the refs that. Why, were the refs overly bad today? Because I didn't notice that, to be honest. I look, were there missed calls here? I saw a missed. Did you see the missed double dribble by Klay Thompson? I was like, I had to rewind that to make sure I wasn't seeing something. But I didn't think it was anything more egregious than anything else. Did you?
No, I didn't. I did hear, I actually ironically just randomly have a friend in Canada, and he had a Canadian broadcast, and he was telling me that that was the reaction from the Canadian side of things.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see it either, Arnie. I'll be honest.
Maybe it's because Lowry fouled out. Maybe that had something to do with it, him picking up six fouls. And
yep.
You know, I don't know if that's probably not a typical thing for him. And, you know, some of the other guys, Siakam had four. But he had got that one. It kind of got him in foul trouble. Maybe that's what they were complaining about. But they got more foul shots. So I'm really not sure what they were complaining about there.
That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah. Is that the Raptors finished with 26 foul shots compared to 23 for the Warriors. I'll say this. The bottom line is, and something we've been arguing here for the last 40 minutes, I'm not as concerned, but I do think I'm not as concerned as you are the fact that they did lose this game. But I don't think there's any denying that, one, the team that deserved to win won. The Raptors did not deserve to win that game. And two, that this is just a situation that it was a missed opportunity for the Raptors. So many wide open, specifically three-pointers, so many opportunities to take advantage, and they just did it late.
What did you think about the technical on Steph Curry?
Loved it.
Oh, I loved it too. I said to myself, because I actually had my headphones on getting ready for the show, listening to Jonas and Brady Quinn. And I was watching the game, and I saw him throw the ball up. I go, wait a minute, that's got to be a technical. And he looked surprised when they called that on him. I go, you're a dope. Of course, that's a T 1,000 out of 1,000 times, for crying out loud.
Did you see earlier in the game, Quinn Cook hit a big three? And he chest bumped Steph Curry, and Steph Curry was getting ready to check in the game. He wasn't in
yes.
the game, came on the court,
yes.
chest bumps to Quinn Cook. That should be a technical. That's
Absolutely.
Six people on the court. So I had no.
I think he came off the bench to do that. I don't know if he was checking in or what. I think he was going to check in, he was walking over there. You know what I mean?
Exactly, and that's my point. Yeah. That should have been a technical. It wasn't, so I have no problem him throwing the ball in the air like a little crybaby. I have no problem.
I don't think
he
was crying over the call. I just think that's just – he just threw it up there for whatever reason. I'm not sure why he threw the ball up like that.
Well, you can't. It's the rules.
I'm glad the refs were all over that, though. That
it almost swung the game. It was unbelievable because the –
That made it from seven –
I think it was 8
no,
to 5.
It was right, 8 to 5, because they get the technical and the two foul shots. So that made it to 106-101.
Because that was the point in the game where the Raptors just could not hit anything, and they just gifted them 3 points, and it could have potentially swung the game. Obviously, Iguodala hit the big shot where it didn't matter late, but that was huge, and I had no problem with it. You got to play by the rules.
Brought up Iguodala, I would have waited till 1 second on the clock, then shot it, because then if you miss, by the time it hits the rim, they could get a hold of the rebound. It might not have any time left on the clock. If anything, maybe like a second left.
It worked out. It was interesting. On the broadcast, on the broadcast, Van Gundy and Mark Jackson were debating this exact same thing. All I'll say is, and we've all played basketball, you better be darn sure that shot is going in if you're going to release it. Because if he had missed it, the Raptors had a timeout. They could have gotten the ball at midcourt with about 5 seconds left, and it would have been a two-point game.
Wait, did they also say that he should have waited till 1 second on the clock to shoot that, or what?
Jeff Van Gundy said absolutely it was the wrong decision to shoot. Mark Jackson said, you know, he did his Mark Jackson championship players making championship plays. So,
but he wasn't shooting the three well before that also. What was he, like 0 for 12 or something coming into the game? He had hit one today, so he had broken that streak.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not the guy that you want. Now, the other kind of question within the context of that is the Raptors were down two, and the Warriors got the ball with about 27 seconds left. They had a chance to foul Draymond Green early in the shot clock. Draymond Green, a good but
yes,
not...
they did. Yes, when he had the ball, I thought they were going to do that also.
He was a 69% foul shooter throughout the season, 69% in the playoffs. So that was, Iguodala probably shouldn't have shot, but that was one. I wonder, and obviously we can't hear the live post-game audio, I wonder if Nick Nurse is going to address that, because that's one where...
What was the clock differential? About 4 seconds?
It was 3 seconds, they said, yeah. So,
yeah.
So if if they had just
then you run, have to foul. You can't even at a miss. By the time you corral the rebound, you're not going to have enough time to get a decent shot off.
I'm with you. I'm with you. That was even though people were talking about the Iguodala, should he or should he not have shot, I thought they should have followed Draymond earlier in the possession.
Colossal screw up. If you're a coach Nurse, you screwed that up. You have to foul right away and get them to the foul line once Draymond Green had the ball and you had a chance to foul them. Because, like you said, 69% shooter, I'll take my chances with him in the line. Then Golden State running the ball around like crazy. Though they almost got the steal, did they not, or what, huh?
They almost got the steal. Steph was almost the GOAT. You know, I will, in his defense, I mean, he was battling every illness in the book. And so I'm sure he can't even, I'm sure he was so, he couldn't even see straight. He had so.
What did he have, scurvy? Come on.
That's
now.
What I'm saying. I think he actually had the bubonic plague, which is amazing. I thought that was eradicated like 400 years ago. But yeah, Steph almost turned the ball over. I think Livingston kind of corralled it, which led to the Iguodala three. Credit to Iggy, though. That was a tough shot. He made it, so.
All right. When we get back, will Klay play? Will Kevin Durant play? Should they play? Should they sit out? Should one of them at least play? We'll get to all that coming up next. Torres in for Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio.
From a hot air balloon landing on a car to a load of concrete falling on one, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, good evening, everyone. Aaron Torres sitting in for Chris Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier right here on Fox Sports Radio. Wow, hour one just flying on by tonight. Terry says, I'm a Warriors fan, but I do admire the Raptors' grit and passion.
Agreed.
I'll give him that. I agree with that. Even though he's ripping you a little bit, I do agree with that one also. Who has more pressure to come back, Klay or Kevin Durant?
You didn't even read Terry's second question, second comment. Did you see what he said?
The one that he's ripping you?
Yeah, Aaron is a little punk that thinks he knows more than you and all the seasoned broadcaster singular at Fox, ESPN, and Yahoo. He is the king of jerks.
I didn't read that one because you're very sensitive sometimes, and you get upset when I read stuff like that.
I'm the least sensitive person going.
Oh, you get sensitive. No, stop. I'm the least sensitive person.
Well, you're the king of jerks. I know that. Yeah, I don't know about the least sensitive. But no, there's one listener in particular who just reaches out to troll, and I generally ignore him. Everybody else, Terry seems like a nice guy or girl. I have no problem with him or her. It's just, you know, I don't know.
That's why I didn't read that one. I usually let that. If they're ripping me, I read it because I'm not as sensitive as you. You know how millennials are, very sensitive coming out of this one. Klay or Kevin Durant, who has more pressure to come back and play? I'm not so sure that Klay can tell us now that it's just a mild hamstring that he's going to come back, especially after what I saw of him after the game. I mean, the limp was not only noticeable, but extremely severe. I don't know how he could tell us right now that he's going to be okay, Aaron.
So I think the answer is Klay because they've been playing without KD, right?
Yeah, but you see, yes, you're right about that. But I think Klay is hurt more than either he's letting on or he knows. That's why I'm thinking he can't play and that Kevin Durant is going to start to feel the pressure like, now I've got to come back in game three because I've got one of my teammates down. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I will be very curious. And I don't know if there's any doctors listening, but I would love for them to text or tweet in or call in, because sometimes these injuries, and you know this, Arnie, you've played competitive sports, you walk it off, you try to shake it off, and the adrenaline of the moment kind of is whatever. It helps you get through it. And then the next day you wake up and you're like, oh, I can't move.
And he could even come back to finish out the game. You think if he would be able to do that, he definitely would have finished the game out.
Exactly. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking is, it's easy to sit here and say tonight, and listen, he, as Steve Kerr said in the post game, like, he is a competitor. If he can walk, he's going to play. I just doubt that the injury isn't going to get worse before it gets better, if that makes sense.
Maybe I'm overanalyzing everything now because there's so many injuries going on and, you know, so much craziness. I believe if, let's say, Klay was 100%, he didn't get hurt, and that this was 1-1 going back to Golden State and everybody was happy, I'd say Kevin Durant's not coming back for the series. Now that I think Klay Thompson's not going to play game three, I get the gut feeling that Kevin Durant's going to force himself to come back for Game 3, even though he's at like 80 or 85%. Or am I thinking too much overanalyzing all this?
I was going to say, it's amazing how 24 hours can change a narrative, because last night you and I were arguing, and we both had our valid points. I don't think either of us was right or wrong. You were saying Kevin Durant should trust his body, don't come back, even if the doctors say you're good enough, come back when you're ready. But narratives change, and if Klay is out... I would think that Durant, I don't know if he would feel pressure or he would feel...
You know how sensitive he is. He'd be feeling... One tweet, he'd be feeling the pressure. Come on now.
That should be a little bit for this show. You should tweet him right now saying, your team needs you.
Yeah.
Don't let them down. And then you'll get 8 different responses from burner accounts and...
Could you imagine? You imagine if I tweeted that at him, huh?
You should right now. I just want to see you do it.
But But is that a valid point, though, or... Are we overanalyzing this and he just can't do anything about it because of his injury?
Yeah, I mean, if the doctors haven't cleared him, if he can't play, he can't play.
Let me tell you something. If he said, I want to play, the doctors will clear him.
You think so?
I promise you that.
Yeah, I mean, it isn't like a life-threatening injury. I don't know if it makes it more or less likely that he plays. I think it's something to kind of continue to talk about throughout the show.
All right, well, we just crushed hour one. I mean, we just flew on by. We'll come back, reset game two. Kurt Heelan will join us, lead NBA writer, manager, editor of Pro Basketball Talk. So we'll ask him what he thought about the game. DeSager will also stop on by. Remember now, Torres sitting in for Chris Plank. He had the new Oklahoma softball. I'm Artie Spanier. This is Fox Sports Radio. All right, everybody. Good evening as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Did you know that 15 minutes can save you 15% or more in car insurance? Visit Geico.com for a free rate quote. You heard the man, Aaron Torres, in for Chris Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier. You want to get a hold of us? Doing a lot on Twitter. That's Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius 1. Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor at ProBasketballTalk.com. We'll stop on by. That's in about 15-17 minutes from now, so you're going to want to hear that. Just kind of resetting, obviously, game two done. Golden State wins it. It's now one game apiece. I started off the show like this, Torres, saying Toronto not only let this game slip right through their fingers, they had it won. They had a big lead in the first half. They had a 5-point lead at halftime. They were playing at home. There was no Kevin Durant. Steph Curry was ill. Klay Thompson got hurt. Steph didn't even have a great game. They let a less than 100% Boogie Cousins dominate them. Andre Iguodala had to leave the game because he got hurt in the first half. Yet, Toronto was not able to put them away because they weren't able to win this game. I say they lost the championship. The Warriors win it because that was their golden opportunity to finish them off, and they couldn't do it. Now it's one game apiece, Torres.
So this is the NCAA tournament is what you're saying. The season's over because they lost one game.
But you have to look ahead, all right? Project ahead. And this was it. Going up 2-0 against a team that's just in disarray, it would have been done. But they let the Warriors back in this game. A 20-0 run? You let the Warriors go on a 20-0 run? Shame on you if you're Toronto. You don't deserve to win it when you're at home and you let the other team go on a 20-0 run. When you have the crowd and everybody, the whole country pumped up, and you come out flat like that, you don't deserve to win it, Torres.
Well, that's one thing I agree on. The Raptors didn't deserve to win it, but I choose to say that the better team did win, and it's the Golden State Warriors. Now, what I would be – it's both kind of just a frustration but also a concern. Why did the Raptors miss so many wide open threes? Because I think you could look at it and just say, hey, if they had just made one or two of them, they probably win this game despite everything that you're saying.
Well, then we could say the same thing about Golden State also.
Golden State did not miss nearly. I mean, we're talking, Arnie, down the stretch, it was 106-98 forever.
Well, and even that from what we saw in game number one. When Siakam had like 34 points, that guy missed 3 shots the whole game.
I know, but I just feel like such wide open shots that any professional can make. And so to me, I just look at it like you make 2 more of those. I mean, they shot 28% from 3. And you just make 2 more. You're not even shooting 33% on the entire game, and you win that game. Not to mention, by the way, down the stretch, Not only did they not make shots, some dumb plays, which we talked about, not fouling Draymond Green. Obviously, Iguodala ends up wide open. I just think there were so many circumstances that where the Raptors could have won this game. I know I sound like a millennial, but I just, if I'm Nick Nurse, I say, guys, we had that game. That was ours.
Oh, and really?
Yes!
That's the speech you give if you're Nick Nurse? That's the one you
give?
What
speech would you give? The series is over. We just blew it?
I'd hold up a mirror and say, look in the mirror.
Yep.
I'm going to show you a bunch of losers that just lost the NBA championship because you let this game slip through your fingers. What kind of knuckleheads are you guys?
Wow.
That's what I would say.
Okay, Bobby Knight, calm down over there, buddy.
Are you kidding me? I'd hold up a mirror and say, look at yourselves. Look how you look right now. You want to get that feeling again? You just went ahead and you blew a game that you had won.
Sure.
The entire country was rooting you on and pulling you to the victory line. And even if you couldn't make a shot, yeah, play some defense. And you don't let the Warriors go on a 20-0 run. Shame on you. Look in the mirror, boys, because that's the look of a team that just may have let the NBA championship slip through their fingers.
Dumb question. Is the entire country of Canada not going to be behind them in game 3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
Well, I mean, you asked the speech I'd give them. I didn't say it'd be a good one, but that's about the closest one I'd give them there.
Yeah, it's a C+. Like your life, you know, but it's okay.
Wow, it's just a C plus, huh?
C's get degrees. Don't ever forget that.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, I don't think I would make it positive. Maybe I wouldn't be as harsh, but I don't think I'm going to make it a positive one. I'm going to say, guys, we let this one slip through our fingers. We were the better team today. We had that bad stretch in a 20-0 run.
Agreed.
Otherwise, we should be up 2-0, and we got to come back at them like we did for game number 3 now.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I would say. I just would leave out the you're losers and you're ugly and you're fat and all the things that you added in there. That's exactly what I would say. We had complete control of the game at halftime. We went ice cold for a big stretch. We went ice cold down the stretch in the final 4 or 5 minutes of this game. We had every opportunity. We outplayed them. The defense was great. Everything that you alluded to.
No, I'm not saying the defense was great and all that stuff. Maybe you got to poke the bear a little bit. That means poke your team a little bit and let them feel a little uncomfortable for the next couple of days. You don't want this bad feeling just going away right away. You want this to sting a little bit so they have that feeling going in the game number 3.
One question for you, and I already know where you're going to go, but we can argue about it in a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
The fact that the Raptors were down 2-1 to Philly and 2-0 to Milwaukee, that doesn't make you feel better at all? All things considered, this isn't the first time that they've found themselves facing a little bit of adversity in these playoffs. Now, as you brought up, and you are correct on this, none of those teams is the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
But they're still good NBA teams with superstars and teams that we thought were good enough to make the finals, and the Raptors overcame both of them.
Big difference between being a good team and being the defending champs or being an NBA champs or going to the NBA finals 5 years in a row. And Milwaukee and Philadelphia, I won't even put them in the same sentence as the Golden State Warriors.
You just literally.
I know that, but it's an insult to even do that.
Why?
Crying out loud.
I mean, the Warriors, as they currently stand, without Kevin Durant, with Clay at less, I don't think that's a stretch to say that they're equivalent teams.
Even without Kevin Durant, they're still a better team than Milwaukee and Philadelphia.
I don't buy that.
You don't buy that? Golden State just won championships with those guys.
Just
because
they swept
about?
The soft Portland Trailblazers? I don't buy it.
You know, Portland was on a roll coming into that series. I don't think anybody quite remembers that.
They won game 7 in Denver.
According to your style, you would say to the Portland Trailblazers, hey, guys, we were up by 17, so let's feel good about ourselves. By the way, weren't they up by like 15 or 17 in 3 of the 4 games?
They were up double figures in the last 3 games, and they lost all of them. But no,
why did you keep saying, hey, we were up double digits, let's do it again?
No.
We're up double digits, we still should feel good about ourselves. Okay, we lost game 3, but we're up double digits, feel good about ourselves.
No, you say that one time, and then after they blow the second double-digit lead, that's when you hold up the mirror and say, hey, losers,
get over yourselves.
Yeah, listen, I just think the Raptors have faced way too much adversity. They've overcome way too much adversity in these playoffs. I'm just not ready to sell all my Raptors stock because they had essentially, I don't even think they had a bad half. They had a bad about 8 minutes in the third quarter, and they had bad 2 or 3 minutes down the stretch. I'm just not ready to sell this entire season because of what is essentially one bad quarter over the first 2 games of the finals.
You know, you're so positive on Toronto.
I am.
Why are you not positive on what Golden State did? Why are you not saying, wow?
I am.
How did you pull this off on the road? You know, with no Durant and no Clay there at the end. And you had to put in subs to help you out. And Boogie, who knows if you could really trust him, even though he had a good game. And Andre was hurt. And I mean, how come you're not impressed with what they did?
I am. You were trying to the series is over and the Warriors aren't even good. That's how you led the show. And I said, why can't we give Boogie Cousins a little credit? I would argue this was the... Considering the stakes, this was maybe the best game that Boogie Cousins has played in his career. 11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks. Why can't we give Quinn Cook credit for making a couple big threes?
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
Sean Livingston played well. He got that crucial loose ball, which basically won him the game because Iguodala hit the three. I'm just saying, I don't know, man. I feel like my takeaway was, let's credit the Warriors. Guys stepped up in the absence of Klay Thompson. They stepped up in the absence of Kevin Durant. And on the flip side, let's say the Raptors, it wasn't your best game. You should be frustrated. You should be looking in the mirror yourself saying, why was I missing wide open 24-footers? But as the head coach, I'm not tearing them down because I know how close I was to stealing that win.
You want to get a hold of us, Aaron underscore Torres. He's in for Chris Plank tonight. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. Mike says, I think my life is a lot like the Raptors game tonight. Only a few more shots in my life, I'd be Bill Gates. But nope. I'm Mike. Tweeting Fox Sports Radio is my reward for missing my wide-open shots in life. So there you go, Torres. I think he's taking a shot at you, my friend.
Well, listen, Mike, first of all, if you had just gone, you know, like 1 for 3.
Three for stocks.
That's what I'm saying. It could be worse. I mean, it could be worse. Never forget, there was another partner of Apple when they started with Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, and now he's worth like $20,000. We had that. We did that story on this show before.
I remember that. Ernie says, Aaron, after working with Arnie Bunker 3 of the last 6 days, I was wondering how many vacation days you'll need after having to endure his bloviating on semi-lukewarm takes. Lukewarm takes? Wow. I thought they're hot sports opinions. What's going on there?
When you come into the show 5 minutes after the Raptors are nearly win game two and you say the series is over, the Warriors are going to win, I think that's pretty hot. I will say in defense of you, your takes are terrible, but they're certainly hot.
I feel good. You know, the odds, according to Vegas, could you imagine if Golden State was down 2-0? I think the odds for Toronto to win the series would have shot up to about 70%. Now, Golden State still got to be the favorite to win this. So that's a pretty big turnaround based on one game.
Well, they now don't have to win in Toronto again, which is huge, obviously. And it's something we talked about a little bit last night on our Saturday night show, is that the series never really starts in the playoffs until the home team loses. That's exactly what happened. So now it's up to Toronto. They had the chance. I do agree with you that it was a missed opportunity. I don't think it means that their season is over, but it's up to them to see if they can rebound or not.
No, look, I think the season's over because I don't know. They're going to look at themselves and, you know, going into Golden State's a lot harder than winning in Toronto. Or am I wrong about that also?
I mean, the Oracle's a pretty bad place. I mean, like a bad place, bad place in a good way. It's a tough place. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think one's easier than the other.
Yeah, I give them 0% chance of winning up there. I think it's going to come back to Toronto with the Warriors up 3-1. By the way, go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 70,000. Discover It Miles. Limitations do apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Coming up next, Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor at Pro Basketball Talk. We'll talk to him. We'll get his thoughts on the game. That's next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
From a car landing on a roof to a car landing in a pool, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right, good evening, everyone. Aaron Torres in for Chris Plank tonight. I'm Arnie Spanier. Get a hold of us at Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius 1. By the way, Discover's going further with Miles Rewards than they've ever gone before because the Discover It Miles card automatically matches all the miles you've earned at the end of your first year. Limitations do apply. Discover match for new card members only. So learn more at discover.com /travel. All right, I want to get right to our next guest. Always love having him on, lead NBA writer, also managing editor at Pro Basketball Talk. You can tweet him at Basketball Talk. It's Kurt Heelan. Kurt, I started talking the show off today saying that Toronto blew a chance to go up 2-0, put an end to this, and win this series. I think they blew a chance to win this championship because they didn't win today.
They certainly hurt their chances. I mean, that was – they're going to look at this as one they coulda, shoulda, woulda, because not only, I mean, all the injuries, Kevon Looney leaves, you know, 8 minutes left, Klay Thompson leaves, but, I mean, they hit some cold streaks. And that last 5 minutes, they missed just wide open. They missed some good looks. They just missed some shots they need to take. They didn't foul with 26 or 27 seconds left, which was, even Nick Nurse was trying to play it off afterwards, but you could see he was like, we had to foul. I don't know why we didn't foul Draymond. It was opportunities lost, and their role players didn't step up this game. You know, they got a good game out of Kawhi, but they did not get the same game out of the role players. And I think they're going to look back and regret this because it's going to be hard to get the Warriors back into the Bay Area.
Well, and that's kind of my stance is more not that it's going to be hard to get the Warriors in the Bay Area because it will be, but I look at it as they went 11 for 38 from three, yep, which is 28%. As you alluded to, Kurt, wide open. I mean, wide open.
Yes.
And I just look at it as, and yet it was still a one possession game with under 5 seconds to go until Iguodala hit that three. I do think Nick Nurse behind the scenes can spin this forward and say, guys, we just make one or two of those shots, we're up 2-0 right now.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they can come away doing some things too. The Warriors figured out in this game how to back cut and do the things that they normally do against. Look, that half-court defense Toronto played locked them down for six quarters, just locked them down. And you know that run they made, the 18-0 run, it wasn't – I mean, yeah, they hit some threes. They got a little bit in transition, but it was a lot of half-court. It was just them carving them up with passing. The passing bigs, Draymond Green and DeMarcus Cousins, really, really was a problem for them tonight. And that's not going away. But I think you're right. I think they can look at this and say, hey, we could still do this. We can do that. We can get one. You know, we could split these two in the Bay Area, and we're going to be fine. I think they genuinely believe that. The only big concern is that the Kevin Durant thing is still just hanging out there.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you just a secret, guys. That would mean less minutes for guys like Jonas Jerebko, and they'd upgrade us. I think it's a little upgrade to Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, just a little bit there. You know, that's what I wanted to ask you. Now, Clay said he'll be okay, and he's going to play in Game 3. I don't know how he could tell us, because when you see the highlights after the game, him in the tunnel area and him limping around, it's severe. My question to you is, if Clay can't come back, does Kevin Durant feel more pressure to come back in Game 3? And was he even going to come back at all and say, you know what, now I have to come back? Or if Clay does come back for Game 3, does Kevin Durant say, then that's okay, I'm going to take off another game now? Or am I overthinking everything here?
Yeah, I think if he doesn't play, if Clay doesn't play, that's a lot of pressure. Clay said he was, you know, after the game, said he would play. I liked Steve Kerr's response to that when he was asked, which is, yeah, Clay said he would play, but Clay could be half dead and say he was going to play. You know, I think the MRI tomorrow will tell us a lot. You know, the hamstrings in particular, that's groin injuries, those things in all sports, you know. It's like get the MRI, and it's what it looks like the next day. Once everything's, you know, the adrenaline's worn off and the muscles have cooled down, then what is it really? And, you know, is this something he can go out there for? But I think it would put real pressure on Durant to come back. I think he wants to get out there anyway, but look, Steph Curry can't carry this thing by himself anymore. I mean, they got great games out of you know, like I said, Cousins and Green did some playmaking, but they've got to have one of those two other guys out there to shot create. This Raptors team is too good to just be Steph Curry against the world.
You've just alluded to it a few times, DeMarcus Cousins. I know you watch a ton of hoop, and I know he's had 50-point games throughout his career in Sacramento and New Orleans. I would argue tonight, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks on this stage, the biggest, maybe most impactful performance of his career. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, except for the All-Star game he got traded during.
There you go. That's true. That's a good point.
No, this was right up. I mean, I think, like you said, in terms of just the stage, because he's never been, forget the finals. I mean, this is his first playoffs. He's never been in this kind of moment. And to come back from that injury and have the impact he's had in this game, he was critical. He was such a physical force inside, getting rebounds late, so there weren't second chance opportunities. skipping balls out, changing shots around. He was phenomenal in this game that way, and was a big part of what they did right. I mean, look, in the first game, the Raptors were 20 of 28 at the rim. They were getting inside. They were doing what they wanted. They still got inside a fair amount in this one, but they weren't hitting at the same percentage. The rim protection was better. They were doing a better job as a team, but a lot of that was just Cousins and Green really coming to the fore and just saying, we're going to protect the rim. We're going to protect the paint.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer, managing editor at Pro Basketball Talk. You can tweet him at Basketball Talk. Kurt, I brought up, and, you know, obviously we were debating all kinds of things, but everybody was tweeting me during the game saying, oh, the officiating, it's one-sided. I think it was 26-23 when it finally came to an end. Was the officiating bad, or was it questionable, or was it just like just any other game?
You say like any other game with Tony Brothers and Scott Foster doing it? They were just tight. They were very tight. They were blowing a lot of whistles tonight. And there were bad calls. There were absolutely both ways. I think the Raptors went through a stretch in particular in the first half where they were like, you've got to be kidding me. But they also, look, Kyle Lowry fouled out. And, yeah, you complain about the bad call he got, but then he fouled out on a stupid 80 feet from the basket.
Yes.
Reaching on DeMarcus Cousins. Like,
yes.
That's your fault, buddy. Like, you're going to get called on that one every time. You think you got all ball. You can't do that. I don't think he knows that. But it did go both ways. There were a couple calls both ways where he's just like, really, that was not a foul. But this was that kind of crew, and I think the players had to adjust to it because it was Scott Foster. I was surprised, frankly, Scott Foster. I'm surprised we only had
that. That's what I was going to ask. Were you surprised by that tech late in the game?
Kurt, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Kurt,
yeah,
can you hear us?
There you go.
Yeah, we were. Aaron just asked you, were you surprised about the technical late in the game on Steph Curry?
I'm sorry, one more time. You're breaking up a little bit. Sorry.
Were you surprised about the technical on Steph Curry late in the game?
Not terribly. I mean, that definitely would be a technical most times. I guess I am surprised that they called it in that moment. But, again, it's Scott Foster. Those guys got to know. Like, he's the shortest fuse in the league. You got to know.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Kurt, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you stopping by. That's Kurt Helin, everybody, lead NBA writer, managing editor at Pro Basketball Talk. If you want to tweet him, it's at Basketball Talk. Aaron, you and I are on the same page on this one. We both thought that Steph Curry deserved the technical, and I'm actually shocked that he would throw the ball like that. He's got to be more cognizant. When there's what was there, a minute? Like 1 minute, 101 left in the game, and you have an 8-point lead, and the other team's going for two foul shots. I don't care if it's borderline or what. You just leave the ball alone. You can't do something like that.
No, I completely agree, and I think part of it is that Curry, I do think, gets away with a lot of stuff. And, I mean, we were talking about it earlier in the show where he literally ran on the court in the middle of a play to chest bump Quinn Cook after a big play, and it was during the game. It wasn't a timeout. It wasn't a stoppage in play. There was no foul called. It was during the play of the course of the game. And so when he got that technical, it was with 108 left, and it was – to Kurt's point, a little bit surprising in the fact of the moment that it came in, but it was the right call, and Steph was lucky. Frankly, he didn't get one earlier in the game. And so, listen, I'm not a stickler for this or that, but, I mean, at a certain point, like, you do have to call the rules in the rule book. So just a real kind of just lack of awareness by Steph Curry, and luckily it didn't cost his team because that did cut the lead to 5, and it really it gave the Raptors a little momentum at a time when they really didn't have any.
What would we be saying right now if LeBron got the technical foul?
That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Or Russ Westbrook, somebody like that.
Wow. The Twittersphere would be going ballistic. I'm surprised, and we've gotten a lot of tweets tonight. Not one person's brought up that technical foul, and that really could have been not only a difference maker in the game, maybe in the whole series.
Yeah.
At least I think so, because I thought this game was the whole difference maker there.
100%. And like I said, it just gave the Raptors momentum at a time that they just needed something to go their way. I mean, during the break here, I'm going to tally up how many missed shots in a row they had to that point. But they had cut the lead from 106-98. Kyle Lowry hit a free throw with 4:26 left.
Jeez.
And it was still 106-98 when that technical happened 3 minutes later with 108 left. So it gave the Raptors momentum. It cut an 8-point lead to 5. The Raptors get another stop, and they cut things even closer with the Danny Green 3. Credit to Iguodala for making the big shot. But, man, that was really close to completely swinging that game the other way.
All right. We have a lot of tweets to get to. So if you want to get a hold of us, Aaron_Torres. I'm at StinkingGenius1. Torres in for Plank. First, though, let's see what's trending with our buddy DeSager. What's going on out there, DeSager?
One game apiece in the NBA Finals after Golden State's comeback win at Toronto tonight, 109-104. The Warriors had trailed by 11 just before halftime, and they opened the second half on an 18-0 run. Klay Thompson with 25 points limped off in the fourth quarter after an awkward landing. Tight hamstring, they said, the problem. Steph Curry started 0-6 shooting from the floor, finished with 23 points. Teammate Draymond Green was close to a triple-double in this win. Games 3 and 4 are at Golden State Wednesday and Friday. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow. Sloane Stephens of the U.S. advanced to the quarterfinals at the French Open, sweeping former champ Garbiñe Muguruza. Stephens had made the final a year ago in Paris. She's won a couple of majors already.
Say that
Get
name
with the
again.
Program. Garbiñe Muguruza. It's one of the favorites on the tour. Stan Wawrinka, a pretty good one as well. Won a match that lasted over 5 hours. He'll face Roger Federer next. Today it was an 8-6 win in the fifth set, going up against number 6 seed Stefanos Tsitsipas. Another good one for you. Kyle Busch won NASCAR's Pocono 400. Baseball tonight, Boston beat the Yankees 8-5. Yankees first place in the AL East, now 2.5 over the Rays, who have lost 3 games in a row now. Houston won in 12 innings at Oakland 6-4. The A's have lost 5 games in a row. Arizona beat the Mets 7-1. Ketil Marte hit a home run estimated at 482 feet at Arizona today. Ahmed Rosario, the Mets, 3 hits, but the rest of the team was 3-for-28 with
That's
11 strikeouts. Dodgers won their 5th in a row. It was scoreless in the 7th, and then they beat Philadelphia 8-0. Colorado won its 8th in a row, 5-1 over Toronto. Nolan Arenado, a solo homer, his 16th. He's batting 345. Toronto has lost 6 games in a row. By the way, AP reports that attendance at Major League ballparks peaked about a decade ago at over 30,000 per game. Now it's under 27,000 per game. Miami's sharp downturn with the new ownership is certainly part of that. And Tampa Bay doesn't draw flies compared to a lot of cities. And the Giants' attendance have been way down in the last 2 years as well. The guys are back in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to Farmers.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Arnie and Aaron, back to you.
All right, thanks a lot to Sager. Remember, Aaron Torres in for Chris Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier. You want to get a hold of us, Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. As we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, it's easy to save 15% or more in car insurance with Geico. All you have to do is go to geico.com or give them a call, 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, well, that's figuring out which way is easier, Torres. A lot of tweets tonight. Lou says, earlier in the playoffs, the AC Clippers went into Oracle and beat the Warriors twice. They don't even have Kawhi yet. Am I making too much about trying to win up there or what?
I think so. Listen, the Warriors, as great as they've been as a dynasty, like they have shown signs of weakness in that Clippers series. They had moments of weakness against the Rockets, although they maybe played better without Durant. They played maybe their best game without Durant in Game 6. And in Game 1, and by the way, in the first half of the game tonight. And so I'm just not ready to use this one-game sample size to say that this series is over, the Raptors blew their chance. Like, it's a long series. Everyone was saying after Game 1 that it was
best of five now, not a long one. It's a best of five.
It's not a best of one, though, Arnie. And you know, you're making it sound like the series is over because they lost one game. I think there's plenty of time to regroup. When do they play? Tuesday or Wednesday?
You know what? Are you telling me you wouldn't agree with me that if Toronto would have won this game, gone up 2-0, and then we would have said, wow, look at this. Klay's hurt. No Kevin Durant.
Sure.
You know, all this. You wouldn't have said that the series wasn't over or what?
I would have said it's over. It's looking good for the Raptors. I agree. But these can be two independent things. Like, they don't have to be, they can
one
be mutually exclusive. Exactly. So, like, just because the Raptors going up 2-0 would have really put them in a position to win doesn't mean now that it's 1-1 that they have no chance to win.
TT Daddy says, you're both being ridiculous. Stop declaring a series winner after every game. A game was played tonight. How about talking about what actually happened instead of making stuff up? What are you making stuff up? I'll tell you what happened. We talked about a 20-0 run. We talked about a Toronto team that had a double-digit lead in the first half. As you brought up, they missed so many wide-open shots, and they went into such a scoring slump that we've never seen anything like that. It's never happened since the NBA and ABA merger. They didn't deserve to win the game when you blow a lead like that, Torres.
I agree they didn't deserve to win the game. I just don't think it means that the series is over. But I do agree the Warriors were the better team. They were more resilient, as Kurt just alluded to in the last segment. They got much more from their role players and their bench. And I think part of the whole, like, the Raptors blew this game is taking away what DeMarcus Cousins did with 11 points, 10 rebounds.
We do have to give him more credit. You're right.
Agreed.
About that. Yeah. One Neck actually likes you now.
He goes, does. We're best friends, me and him.
I think it's blatantly obvious that if you're a GM, you'd rather have Torres as your coach than Dr. Kevorkian, also known as Arnie Bunker, giving his post-game speech.
Yeah.
I'm just a little bit more honest than everybody else.
Yeah,
there,
you hold up a mirror and call them all ugly losers. I don't think that's the best way to motivate a team going into game three.
Not too bad, though. Lou says, hey, Arnie, I'm 99% sure you wouldn't read my Iguodala tweet publicly, but in case you're thinking of doing so, I hope you won't, as I don't give any ideas to entrepreneur listeners out there. So, I'm not even sure what he was getting to, Andre Iguodala, on that. And Mr. Nice Guy says
he thinks
your partner needs to change, well, something during his next break. He thinks you're being a little soft, I guess, is what he's saying out there.
Because I don't believe this is the part I don't confuse. And first of all, Mr. Nice Guy, definitely not the appropriate Twitter handle. But what am I being soft about? I refuse to believe that this series is over because they lost one game. I don't feel like that's a ridiculous take. I say some crazy things on air with you, Arnie. I don't feel like that's one of them.
Why are we not giving Lowry more grief? 13 points, 4 of 11. He fouled out, minus 17 on the plus minus. The listener said, don't make stuff up, get to the facts. Well, that's the fact. And he's one of the reasons, if not, I'm not going to say the sole reason, but he's a big reason why they lost tonight.
He did not have his best game, as you said.
No, he didn't have his A game tonight, that's for sure.
Here we go. How about this? 2 steals, 2 assists, 6 fouls, and as you said, minus 17 when he was on the court.
Horrible. That's the worst plus-minus ratio of the game.
Well, and it's crazy because if you remember, it was him and DeRozan for years, and they would just wilt in big games and wilt in a bad way. They would, I don't want to say choke, but they would underachieve, underwhelm, whatever you want to use. And he's kind of playing that way in the finals right now. I'll say this, is that Siakam was amazing in game one, but outside of Kawhi Leonard tonight, the guys that they needed to step up, Van Vliet had another good game, but other than him, Danny Green didn't play well. Gasol certainly didn't play well. They need some guys besides Kawhi. You can't just rely on Kawhi to hope to get 40 points and win the game. They still almost did it, but they need somebody else to step up.
Did Kawhi have a good game tonight? 8 out of 20, 2 of 9 from three-point range. I mean, he got 60, about half his points, a little bit more than or less than half his points from the free throw line. Yeah, the 14 rebounds is impressive, but he did have 5 turnovers, minus 14 on the plus-minus. He had a good game tonight?
Well, it's funny you say that because, first of all, the 14 rebounds were huge because he kept getting them extra possessions, but they weren't making shots. But it was funny. I was watching the game, and people were saying, oh, Kawhi, he's doing his Kawhi thing. I'm like, I don't really feel like he's playing that well. By the way, we talk about Steph having whatever illness, Clay, whatever. Are we sure Kawhi's 100% healthy? Because we were talking about him potentially having an injury earlier in this series, and nobody's really talking about it. But I don't think he's at 100% right now.
Do you think he's wearing down? I thought there was talk about him not being 100%.
That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine that he's at 100% right now.
And after a guy that missed pretty much all of last year and 20-plus games this year, you think he wouldn't have wear and tear on his body?
You would think so. By the way, we talked about this a little bit last night, but, I mean, that could be a real factor in his decision this offseason to have to give up $50 million plus to leave Toronto for another place. And as a guy whose body, like you said, missed a season, his body broke down, he got back this year but missed a ton of time. I wonder if that's going to play a factor in his decision going forward.
Don't tell me where, but has Kawhi Leonard made up his mind where he's going to go next year?
I don't believe so, personally.
Has Kevin Durant made up his mind where he's going to go to next year?
I believe that at halftime of Game 5 of the Rockets series he had, and then he got hurt, And he realized, one, this team really needs him. And two, he realized, hey, I'm not Superman. I am susceptible to injury. And do I really want to go to New York and completely start over? I think Durant may have swung the other way. I still think it's up in the air. I don't think it's decided, no.
Has Anthony Davis changed his mind about wanting to get traded?
That one, no. He does not want to be in New Orleans. He's the only person in the world that doesn't want to be in New Orleans. Because I want to be in New Orleans right now. I'd love to be in New Orleans right now.
You want to get in. Remember, Torres in for Plank today. Plank had to do Oklahoma softball. So Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. When we get back, coming up next, we always love bringing our buddy in, Steve DeSager. How exactly did Golden State make that comeback? DeSager's got the answer. That's coming up next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
From a hot air balloon landing on a car to a load of concrete falling on one, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, Exchanges, and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right. Good evening, everyone. He's Aaron Torres sitting in for Chris Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier. You want to get a hold of us, you can tweet us at Aaron underscore Torres. I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Show just flying on by. Warriors make a big comeback. DeSager's going to tell us how they did it. What's going on, Steve DeSager?
Good evening once again. Guys, it was a horrid first half for Golden State, and they still wind up winning Game 2 to even up the finals at a game apiece. I mentioned earlier in the show that Klay Thompson scored 11 of the first 13 points for the Warriors tonight. They should have been down double digits quickly. Instead, by the end of the first quarter, it was only 27-26 Raptors.
Right.
And the bad shooting continued. It was a quarter and a half where it was pretty much only Klay Thompson making a field goal. Steph Curry had started 0 of 6 during the first half. So Golden State mid-second quarter is down 10. They're still down double digits late in the first half. So it wasn't just that big run to start the second half. Steve Kerr talked about this afterwards.
Just staying in the game at the end of the second quarter was also very important. I think we were down 12 and, you know, place was going nuts. We couldn't score. And Steph and Clay got loose and the game loosened up a little bit and we scored.
And in fact, an 18-0 run to start the second half. Meanwhile, Toronto was 0-of-8 shooting to start the second half.
You keep saying what terrible shooting it was. They shot 37%. What is the average of a team for any given night? Is what, like 40%?
I think it's 48% for Golden State this postseason. But
well, no, I'm not talking about for Golden. I'm just saying for any regular season game, you know, this year, I think the average team will shoot about, what, 42-43%. So it wasn't that bad, you know, 37% was like wasn't like one of the all-time lows.
But look at what they got from production from, you know, the Marc Gasols of the world in game one. If you add up these two, three guys that aren't Kawhi Leonard, and Pascal Siakam was 5-of-18 for crying out loud.
He's not having a game like that like he had in game one. That's just not happening.
Well, it's just that it wasn't even close to that. If he had, you know, an 8-for-18 game, that might change everything right there. But Golden State, they forced 5 turnovers to start the second half during that run. So if you count the little run of the last 2 minutes before halftime and then the first few minutes after halftime, that was a 27-3 Golden State run in 7.5 minutes to go from double digits down to double digits ahead. And then, of course, the shot in after 5 minutes of nothing from the Golden State offense, the shot in the final second.
Goes to Andre. He's open. Launches a three. Buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go!
That was the only basket for the Warriors in the last 5.5 minutes of the game.
Wow.
But it was the clincher, 109-104. Iguodala clutch there. You know, Golden State started shooting tonight 9 of 33 from the floor, so under 30%. After that, 29-for-49, almost 60% for the rest of the night. This is such an entertaining team to watch when they're on. And mid-game, my goodness, they
still
were on.
Still think Iguodala should have waited till 1 second to put that shot
no, up. Yeah, I don't think they did the math quite well quickly on the broadcast on that for Van Gundy.
Should have fouled. I guess the coach said that.
About that. Yeah, earlier. Yeah. Okay, yeah, lengthen the game. And, yeah, Toronto as well was doing nothing offensively in the final minutes as well. Anyway, a lot of college baseball and college softball going on. You mentioned Chris Plank not here on the show tonight because Oklahoma had to play a second game this evening just to qualify. Of course you were.
I know.
Anything in Chris Plank's life, you
root
against.
Against him, yes.
But it'll be Oklahoma-UCLA in the softball World Series final. I think it's best of three. It starts tomorrow night. But the first round of games in college baseball. By the way, Aaron, I saw UConn is still alive.
Are they? I didn't even know that.
That is
correct.
Wow,
what kind of fan are you, Torres?
No comment.
Number one, UCLA had to win today just to stay alive for a game tomorrow. But I saw a clip of the closer for Louisville getting tossed out of a playoff game today because he threw what he thought was a strike and then said, that's horrible, and turned around and went back to the mound for the next pitch. Got thrown out for no swearing, literally just the two words, that's horrible. But what makes it worse is I've seen the memo from NCAA baseball, the rules. It turns out when in college baseball there's an ejection for a pitcher in-game, it carries an automatic four-game suspension.
Whoa.
So he not only got tossed from this, he's going to miss the Louisville game tomorrow if they follow through on that. And then even if they win tomorrow, he would miss the entire best of three of next weekend in the NCAA playoffs.
Did you see, DeSager, what was it, Texas A&M? They were down, I think, like 7-1 in the seventh inning, and they came back to win a game on a walk-off grand slam, I think?
Grand slam in the ninth for that as well. By the way, I looked it up. It's UConn and Oklahoma State tomorrow to see who advances.
Some quick Google search.
Let's go Oklahoma State.
A&M, by the way, after that comeback, ended up losing tonight and were eliminated. So all that for nothing.
But lots of excitement. Man, they went nuts congratulating around home plate after that. And Artie, you're certainly familiar with the ECHL, minor league hockey. Did you see the story?
I heard this story, yes,
that
I
the
did.
Trophy is not coming back to the league.
They lost it or something like
the
that.
The team that won the ECHL, they're supposed to give it back the next year.
They won't give it back.
They're not giving it back. So the exact cup, the Kelly Cup that they've been giving to ECHL hockey champs the last 20 years plus, won by the Colorado Eagles the last 2 years. Well, guess what? Colorado has left to another league. They played AHL this season, and they haven't given the cup back. Now, their statement was, the league has ignored our request, so the cup remains in Colorado. But the ECL said, they haven't honored our request, so we've just made up another one because our finals are going to be ending this coming week.
I'd come take it from them. I'd go down and take it from them. So some people down there. That's what you
get for having Colorado in the East Coast Hockey League.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot, DeSager. Appreciate that. 2 hours are in the books, and the power hours coming up next. Everything about Game 2 as we put that to rest. What's going to happen from here on out? Who's going to win the series? Bernie Fratto will join us at 20 past the hour. Torres sitting in for Chris Plank. I'm Arnie Spanier, Aaron_Torres, right here at Fox Sports Radio. Oh, good evening, everybody, as we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more in car insurance. What do you have to do? Just visit geico.com for a free rate quote. He's Aaron Torres. He's sitting in for Chris Plank tonight. You can reach him at Aaron_Torres. I'm Arnie Spanier. You get a hold of me at Stinkin' Genius One. By the way, our buddy Bernie Fratto will join us at about 20 past the hour. He's straight out of Vegas. Give us the latest lines for Game 3 and which way it's already moved. That's coming up in about 18 minutes from now, so you're certainly going to want to go ahead and listen to Bernie. He is the Vegas insider. All right, a couple things we want to get to. Like I said, Aaron_Torres, I'm at Stinkin' Genius One. Game 2 in the books. The series now tied at one game apiece. By the way, is this a much better series than we were giving it credit for before the start of it, or what, Aaron?
It's not a better series than I was giving it credit for, but you were Mr. Warriors at 4. It's over. Season's over. Don't even play the finals.
I still think it could go 4-1, and it wouldn't make it any better if it went 5 games instead of 4, if that's what you're trying to insinuate.
Do you really think it's going to go 5?
Why, you think it's going to be a much better series had it gone 5? That's going to make it a ratings winner?
I don't think it's going to go 5, though.
You think it's going to go 6 or 7?
At least, yes. It's going to go at least 6, maybe 7. I'm not saying at least 7 as if it can go longer than 7.
Were you saying that before the series? I don't remember you saying that before the series started.
I said Warriors in 6 before the series, and I did pick the Raptors in Game 1. I just thought that there was a lot of momentum for the Raptors and stuff we talked about last night, Arnie, but I thought we were all overselling the sweep of the Trailblazers a little bit. I thought the Trailblazers were a bad matchup for the Warriors. I thought that the Raptors not having much time off, the Warriors had whatever it was, 10 days, the Raptors had about 3 days. I thought there was a lot of things that played to the Raptors' favor to win Game 1. Credit to the champion, the two-time defending champion, 3 times in the last 4 years. They had their backs against the wall tonight and found a way to win.
If the Toronto Raptors win the NBA championship.
Uh-oh.
I
thought you were going to say I'll quit.
If they win the championship, we won't have that week of an NBA champion since how long? You tell me. 1971 when Milwaukee beat Baltimore Bullets? When's the last time we had his week of an NBA champion if Toronto wins it? Certainly not the Golden State Dynasties or Cleveland or what the Miami Heat's been able to do. Mavericks still, they had Dirk. I mean, the Lakers run, the Celtics, the Spurs had a good run. The Bulls, the old Pistons. I can't think of a worse champion than the Toronto Raptors.
What makes them so weak?
Compared to all the other teams I just mentioned, are you serious? I mean, the other teams I just gave you were almost iconic. Matter of fact, that was one of the things I was going to bring up. Had Toronto won and Golden State would have gone down 2-0, I would have said, well, you know, down 2-0, injury to Clay, injury to Kevin Durant, doesn't look good. If the, if the dynasty is going to crumble, where's Golden State on this whole dynasty thing with all the teams I just mentioned? Are they a top three team of all time when it's all said and done?
I don't know why that this has to be like the I think the Raptors are a really good team. Like, you look at the path that they went through, Philly with three all-stars, an emerging team, a team that I think a lot of people thought could get to the finals, Milwaukee, best record in the NBA in the regular season, Giannis, the MVP. Like, I don't think the Raptors are bad. Just because they have guys that you've never heard of doesn't make them a bad team. And so to answer your question, I think they would have the least star power at least since the 2011 Mavericks. And really, even those Mavericks had Jason Kidd and had Sean Marion. They had guys at the back end of their career, but guys that were still kind of had iconic star power.
Some guy named Dirk you may have heard of.
Well, Dirk is the obvious one, but I mean, like, you know, beyond Dirk. So I just think that I don't think that they're like a not talented team, though. And I think, as a matter of fact, kind of in this modern NBA, first of all, they play great defense overall, even though it wasn't phenomenal tonight. But I think in this modern NBA, they shoot the three really well. They defend really well. Siakam and Kawhi Leonard are versatile kind of positionless pieces. I actually think they're a really good team, even if they don't have kind of the brand name recognition that some of the other champions have had.
I asked you yesterday if we give Steve Kerr enough credit or do we underestimate him, take him for granted. I'll ask you about Nick Nurse now. Are we putting him more on a pedestal and escalating him a little too fast considering they're just in their first finals?
I don't think so. I think
So just put him on the same pedestal as Steve Kerr and Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich and the rest of them, right?
Can you can you find me the tweet or article that compared Nick Nurse to Greg Popovich?
No, but I had to go to the extreme on that.
Of course, everything you do is to the extreme. It's insane. Listen, Arnie, I'm not going to lie to you. I noticed I looked at myself in the mirror the other day, which, by the way, you would have told me that I was a big, ugly loser if you were holding up that mirror. But I'm getting a lot of gray hair, Arnie, and I think most of it is attributed to you, not just my future wife, but also you. I got stress when I'm at home, and I got stress when I'm at work. You're out of your mind. I got to take it to the extreme. Why can't you just be extreme?
You don't think we're just kind of giving him a little too much props here? Like, we're making him into the next superstar coach?
I actually think it's the exact opposite. I think
we're not giving him enough credit.
I think that this is a guy, let's never forget, the Raptors won 50 games three years in a row.
Yes.
They had the coach of the year, supposedly, last year in Dwayne Casey, and they fired him, and they've been better. And I know they have Kawhi Leonard, but let's not forget that Kawhi Leonard missed like 20 games during the regular season. Otherwise, it's basically the exact same team. By the way, there was a bunch of trades that happened during the season. They bring in Gasol. They bring in Danny Green in the preseason with Kawhi Leonard. They trade Valanciunas. They trade some of their kind of core guys. He's brought them together. They've played well throughout the playoffs. They beat Philly. They beat Milwaukee, as I've alluded to. I think he's doing an incredible job. I think he's been phenomenal. I think he's exceeded any logical expectation, don't you?
Well, you know, it's just like, you know, I look at Ty Lue, and when he won it, does that make him a great coach or because LeBron carried him? You know what I'm saying?
Kawhi's awesome, but I don't think he's carrying them. I mean,
Fire you for that drug test.
He had like 21 points in the first game, Kawhi, and they won.
If Kawhi's not on this Raptors team right now, they don't get out of the first round, probably.
That's probably fair, but that doesn't mean that he's the only reason that they're on this stage.
Well, he's a big reason why.
He's the biggest reason why. But I think some of it goes to the credit to the coach. By the way, Jeff Van Gundy talked about this on the broadcast night. Did you see that late in the game they went to a box and one and they completely...
Yes, I did.
Yeah, how you like that?
And they got the steal. Van Vliet got the steal by sticking his hand in, which was a terrible pass by Livingston. That was horrible that he threw that pass like that.
Steph Curry, it was actually Steph Curry who threw the pass. Livingston grabbed it.
No, that was at the end of the game.
Okay. So which
I'm talking about when they played the box and won and it got stolen and Steph actually picked up a foul.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Like Van Vliet was on the fast break. Yeah.
Right. And horrible pass by Livingston. Horrible to go ahead and throw it like that. He did it like nonchalant.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I just think, look, obviously this is a different team with Kawhi, but I also do think that Nick Nurse should get some credit. I was thinking about this during the game. I mean, it's one thing to fire your coach after you finish in first place in the regular season. It's another thing to fire your coach and replace him with a guy who has never been a head coach at the NBA level like Nick Nurse. Like, and so to me, first of all, I think he's exceeded all logical expectations. By the way, I'm on Nick Nurse's Wikipedia page right now. Artie, take a guess at how old Nick Nurse is. Just a guess.
42.
51 years old.
Oh, he looks good for 51.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow, he looks like me. We both look so young.
Listen, first of all, I'm just going to ignore that because that's blasphemy.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe I'm overselling him. I thought he was like 38 years old and he was like the next up and coming thing. Maybe I'm overselling him.
I would have said 45 tops.
Yes.
You know, tops. Michael says, think of genius if, and they won't, but if Toronto wins, they would be the weakest champions in my lifetime, 40 years. It's a hot take, but true. Torres can't name a weaker champion in the last 40 years. Love your show. Stay salty. I don't know if you want to call him popular or just good or best team, but either way, they would be the worst in 40 years. I have to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, the 2004 Pistons, you don't think... I mean, they had four, like, all-star caliber players, but they didn't have a guy that's the skill level of Kawhi, I don't think. Or I personally don't believe.
The old four Pistons?
Yeah, that was the Chauncey Billups, Rasheed Wallace. Like,
you could stop right there. Yeah, you're going to tell me
neither of those guys is Kawhi. Neither of those guys is Kawhi.
Oh, my goodness. A much better team, though. But Toronto doesn't have the cachet or the sex appeal that all those other teams I just gave you. I mean, it's not even close if that's the point you're trying to make, Aaron.
First of all, I find Toronto very sexy, to be honest. I think they're... that was bad. Let's just pretend I didn't say that.
All right, let me move on. Sean says... the Aaron Torres Show doesn't even need Arnie.
There
Canada
we go.
Loves Aaron.
Let's
Hashtag
go.
We are the North.
I'm huge in Canada. I'm not so huge in Australia, which we discussed last night, but that's neither here nor there. But thank you to Sean. I totally agree. The Aaron Torres Show, we really don't need you, Arnie. I mean, maybe if Plank wants to come hang out on Sunday nights, that's cool. You could just take the rest of the year off, though.
All right. I want to get to the injuries real quick. Now that, if Klay doesn't play, and I know he says he thinks he's going to play or that he's going to play, I really have reservations about that. I don't even think it's a 50-50. If I had $1 million and you made me bet, I'm going to bet that Klay's not going to play game three. If Klay doesn't play game three, does Kevin Durant look in the mirror and say, I'm going to rush myself back and come back? If he can. If not, if Klay does come back game three, does Kevin Durant say, you know what, I don't want to push it, and I'm going to wait till game four? Or could they both possibly come back in game three? Or could they both possibly miss game three? You pick one of the four there, Aaron.
I will say I think it's more likely. Well, this is like the least hot take ever. I think it's more likely that both miss game three as opposed to both play game three.
Wait. You think it's more likely they both miss it
as opposed to play?
Why? Because you think they're both seriously hurt like that?
Well, Kevin Durant...
I actually kind of agree with you on that.
Yeah, Kevin Durant we haven't seen in, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah, but Steve Kerr did say that he's willing to put him back onto the court after one practice.
Sure, but we'll
Which
see
is
about
fair
that.
Enough, right.
And I'm with you in the sense that Klay can talk a big talk about I'm fine, it's not a big deal, blah, blah, blah. He was not walking well in that tunnel after the game.
Do you think that maybe... Kevin Durant says, I got to come back because Klay's not going to be here. I'm going to force myself to come back a little bit earlier. That's wishful thinking.
Let me ask you this, and we can ask Bernie Fratto this in the next segment. If you were in Vegas and you had to bet your life savings on one of them playing but not both next game, which one do you think it would be?
I would say Klay.
Really? I'd say Durant. I don't think Klay's playing.
I don't think I don't think Kevin's coming back. I don't think Kevin Durant's coming back. The only way he comes back is if he just forces himself to come back because Klay's not playing. That's the only way I think he comes back. And he might not come back like you said. They both might not play. I would go with that one also.
Yeah. I think it's more likely that neither plays. But I just think the way that Klay was walking around, I know it's easy to say, oh, I'm going to be fine. But I'm just blown away by the fact that like sometimes with injuries, I think we just completely oversell. Oh, the guy says he's going to be fine.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, right.
The guy, he could barely walk.
Exactly.
And he's going to sleep on it and it's going to freeze up on him.
Well,
so.
There's already a line for game three. I don't know how they could put it out. What if Kevin Durant plays? What if Klay doesn't play? What if they both don't play? What if they both play? Which way is the line going? Will people rush to the windows to bet Golden State? Will they rush to the windows to bet Toronto? We'll answer all that with Bernie Fratto. He joins us next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
From a car landing on a roof to a car landing in a pool, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Go further than ever with the Discover It Miles card. They automatically match the miles you earn at the end of your first year, so that 35,000 miles could become 70,000 miles. Discover It Miles. Limitations do apply. Discover match for new card members only. Remember now, learn more at discover.com/travel. He's Aaron Torres sitting in for Chris Plank tonight. I'm Arnie Spanier. You can get a hold of us at Aaron_Torres. I'm at Stinking Genius One. I want to get right to our guest. You hear him on Saturday nights from 11 p.m. to midnight Pacific. He's the host of Straight Out of Vegas. It's Bernie Fratto. Bernie, I guess the winners tonight, Golden State, the plus the points and the under, right, or what?
Absolutely. Nice night for the books if you're keeping score. As we talked about last night, 83% of the tickets were on the Raptors, and the Warriors get the cash, and 77% of the tickets were on the over, and it landed on 213. Some of those folks had numbers of 213.5, 214, 215. So a nice night for the books and a nice night for the Warriors.
Why do you think so much was on the Raptors? Like, was the public sentiment that much after game one that the Warriors had no chance in game two? It just seems preposterous to me that the public would flip that quickly, but it seems like that's exactly what happened.
Well, as we've always talked about, Aaron, people overreact to what they saw last.
Sure, sure.
And whether we want to call it recency bias, prisoner of the moment. And, you know, you asked a really good question last night. You asked
I did,
me,
thank you.
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
Used to working with Arnie, are you? It's okay. You can
well, start. help yourself do some cookies out of petty cash. I think you're worth it. The bottom line is this. You said, Bernie, how much in your analysis is, you know, once you get past the metrics and the numbers and the analysis, how about your eyes? Do you trust your eyes? What do they tell you? Well, they tell me a lot. And the bottom line is the public saw to a degree what you saw, and I think you asked if in your case it was more of an inquiry. You saw a younger, hungrier, meaner, tougher breed, and Toronto looked like they just couldn't be beaten, and the optics didn't look good, right? Well, that's true, but that was one game, and I always believed that in my 30 years of handicapping, things have a tendency to regress to the mean. And sure. We said last night, could you really count on Pascal shooting 82% again?
Right.
No, he shot 24% tonight. Could Toronto really shoot 51%? No, they shot 37%. Not horrible, but they regressed. So why did Golden State win tonight? I'll tell you why. They're more mentally tough. And what I just said, the Raptors regressed to the mean, and Golden State won the battle of the benches. I believe last night that was going to be key. Look what Andrew Bogut did. Look what Quinn Cook did. Look what Alphonso McKinney did. When it mattered most, 7 of 12 from the floor, huge in the fourth quarter. Look what Kyle Lowry did. Minus 17 plus minus, fouls out, made one dumb play after another, 7 of 19 from the floor. Kawhi had no help tonight. He had a good game, 34 points, 14 rebounds. Come on, he was all over the place. 3 assists, steals, blocks, you name it. But he had nothing from his supporting cast. And I got to tell you, I was holding a ticket with the Golden State Warriors, which I said last night.
Right.
And even in the first half, truthfully, I wasn't that worried, and I'll tell you why.
Wow.
And back to what you said, Aaron, what do your eyes tell you? Tonight was a game of runs. And the Warriors come out, and early in the game, Kyle Lowry took a charge on Draymond, the 17th charge of the playoffs. He's done a good job. That seemed to energize Toronto. They went on a 7-0 run. Later they went on a 10-0 run. But aside from those two runs, I didn't really see Toronto in a lot of really effective offensive sets. I just thought they pressured Golden State's defense in transition. And they repeatedly made the extra pass, and they were knocking down some shots early. Even when the Warriors closed out on the shooters, Toronto managed to find a different open man. There were a lot of back cuts. And Fred VanVleet was outstanding. Really, really good. He really locked down Steph Curry in the first quarter. But they only led by five at the half.
Right.
And you saw what happened in the second half.
Bernie, I have a lot of questions about the Game 3 line. Right now it opened up Warriors 5.5. It's at 5.5. Is that line reflective of Klay maybe not playing in the game? Is what happens if Klay and Kevin Durant both don't play? What happens if they both decide to both come back and play? What happens if Klay doesn't play and Kevin Durant comes back and play? Which way is the line going to move? Is this one of the craziest game threes to bet because of all the uncertainty?
Not so much. I think at this point, whether Durant comes back or not, it's not going to affect the line. If Durant had been here all along, he's worth 3 points to the line, but not at this point. But I've been on the horn with my own bulls. I'm going to tell you with pretty relative certainty, guys, you're going to see Klay Thompson play Wednesday, and I'll tell you why.
Wow.
My mole reminded me. Guys, remember game one last year in Cleveland? He suffered the high ankle sprain?
Yes.
That was far worse. He came back. Will he come back? Yes, he came back, played the next three games, averaged 37 minutes a game, and the Warriors swept. To a man, they feel Klay Thompson's the toughest guy on the team. He's never missed a playoff game. And this hamstring, little tweak, they'll know. They'll do an MRI when they get back to Oakland tomorrow. But to a man, the Warriors all believe they'll play. Now, you never know with a hamstring. You can tweak it again, right? But they'll tape him up. They'll get ultrasound, all those things. He'll be on the floor. Durant will not be on the floor Wednesday. I don't even think he'll be on the floor Friday. And I have a lot of respect for Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports. But I have moles, too. I just don't see it. He hasn't practiced yet. He hasn't been cleared yet. And all of a sudden, he's going to magically show up. Now, I could eat my words. Look what DeMarcus Cousins did tonight. Tip my cap to that guy. 28 minutes, quality minutes, and that's what I mean by mentally tough. Cousins had only played 33 minutes the entire playoff series. Comes up with 28 key minutes tonight, and they needed him. It's like a relief pitcher eating up innings. Now, to answer your question, Arnie, about the line. So it opens up 5.5, 214. Toronto money came in almost immediately, got it down to 5, but now there's been support. It's back to 5.5, but they're pounding the under. So the under's down to 213. I don't think you'll see a lot of movement. It's going to settle in around there regardless. I think you will see Klay play. You won't see Durant play. Now, the series price, again, even tonight, Toronto heading into tonight when Golden State was down, they were still minus 140. They're going to probably be minus 250. We haven't seen a series price yet.
Golden State, because of what you just said, Arnie. Yeah.
No one really knows 100% what's going to happen with either guy, right? I'm just giving you the best information I have right now. So you can't really set a series price. But I would say this, and you guys might say I'm crazy, but I mean this seriously. Even if Toronto had won tonight and Golden State went down 2-0, I'm not changing my prediction that Golden State was going to win this in 6, maybe 7. I'll tell you why. All right, Toronto would have taken care of home court. Golden State goes home. They did what they were supposed to do. Now Golden State goes home. You presume they might do the same. Guys, it hasn't been that long ago since a team in the finals came back from a 2-0 deficit. Cleveland just did it in 2016 against these very Warriors. The Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade did it in 2006 against Dallas. And before that, Bill Walton's Portland Trail Blazers and the 69 Celtics. It's not like it's something that hasn't never been done. So you've got to knock out the champs. And I think Toronto found out the hard way that this isn't just glitz and glamour on the Splash Boys. They're gritty, they're gutty, they're well-coached. And I'll tell you what, you get them down, you better step on their neck. You can't give up a 20-0 run.
So you say not to overreact to tonight, but clearly you already liked Golden State going into next game. What does Toronto have to do to get back on track and potentially steal a game at Oracle Arena?
Well, two things, Aaron. I do expect them to steal a game at Oracle. I expect them to come back 2-2. But what they've got to get more consistent production out of Serge Ibaka and Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell. Kawhi needs help. Nurse went to that box and won. It seemed to be effective. Now, I'm high on the Warriors to win the series. Frankly, I don't know what's going to happen in Game 3, Aaron. It's come down to the point where it's very difficult to pick individual games. And frankly, I made a really dumb bet. I'm mad at myself. I played half the unit in the first half for Golden State, so I gave back some of my profits, although the numbers took me there. Remember, we talked about this last night. Golden State coming off a loss in the playoffs with this group, they're 11-2. Toronto only 34-37 against the spread coming off a win. So game by game, I really can't tell you how to look at this series. I do expect Toronto to even it up and come back 2-2, and then it's really going to get fun. Guys, 2 weeks from tonight would be Game 7. Don't be surprised if 2 weeks from tonight you're signing on the air and you're breaking down at Game 7.
I will be surprised because Chris Pike's usually in this spot. But.
Yeah, exactly. Last thing before we let you go, how did the props do? How did you do on your prop bets?
I don't play any prop bets, but one of the I will say this. Well, there was one I really liked, and that was Pascal Siakam, 30.5 points and rebounds, and it went way under.
Right.
The one prop I'm really watching, Arnie, is right now, for instance, let's say you like the Warriors in 6. It's 11-5. If you like the Warriors in 7, it's 5-1. If the Raptors go, if it goes 7, the Raptors are 6-1. So if this goes 7 games, I mean, they're not really making a prediction who's going to win this. Either way, it's pretty much an equal bet. You asked me a question last night, Arnie, that I didn't do a very good job answering. Toronto, you could have had at the beginning of the year 30-1. You could have had it 14-1 in the playoffs. So who's ever rode this team to this point, you might as well continue to ride them. But like I said, you got to knock out the champ. That's not going to be so easy to do.
Bernie, always a pleasure. You knocked it out of the ballpark. Bernie Fratto, host of Straight Out of Vegas, Saturday nights, 11 p.m. to midnight Pacific time. You can reach him at Bernie Fratto. Bernie, always a pleasure. We'll speak to you later on, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
Thank you, Bernie.
I always love talking to Bernie. Always love that. All right, before we do anything else, I want to get more into Kerr, but first let's check in with DeSager and see what's trending, what's going on, DeSager.
Hello, gentlemen. We'll get to Steve Kerr and a quote in just a moment. Are you aware that Fox TV carried the U.S. Women's Golf Open this weekend, and the winner was Jeongwen Lee 6? The numeral 6 in the name. It actually appeared on the leaderboard.
Wow.
It turns out she had joined the Korean LPGA a few years ago, but because there had been 5 other women on tour with her exact name, she became Jeongyun Lee 6. That was the winner of this major.
I'm Arnie Spanier, the 9th in sports radio, I think. Yes.
Fortunately, there's only one for all of us. Golden State is even at a game apiece after winning in a comeback at Toronto at the NBA Finals tonight, 109-104. Klay Thompson, 25 points, limped off in the fourth after an awkward landing, tight hamstring the problem. Steph Curry had started 0-6 from the floor. Afterwards, his coach, Steve Kerr.
I think he may have been a little dehydrated. That was the word I got. He just was feeling a little bit lightheaded.
23 points later, he and the team come back for the win. He finished with 23 after that poor shooting for most of the first half. Golden State with an 18-0 run to start the second half. Games 3 and 4 at Golden State Wednesday and Friday. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is tomorrow night. Sloane Stephens of the U.S. advanced to the quarterfinals of the French Open. Kyle Busch won NASCAR's Pocono 400. A lot of baseball to get to tonight. Boston finally beat the Yankees 8-5. David Price over C.C. Sabathia, who was coming off the injured list. Miami, a 9-3 win at San Diego. There was a delay in the third inning due to bees, a swarm attached to a microphone near the dugout, and they had to stop the game and get them out. That was about the only excitement for Padre fans because their offense, typically, didn't do much. In fact, till the ninth inning, Padres were 2 of 26 with 10 strikeouts at the plate. Colorado won its 8th straight game, 5-1 over Toronto, which has lost 6 in a row. Dodgers and Phillies were scoreless in the 7th. Dodgers won 8-0, 5 wins in a row for L.A. Rich Hill got the win in this one. Jock Peterson is 18th homer. The Phillies did acquire outfielder Jay Bruce from Seattle. Arizona 7-1 over the Mets. Houston sent Oakland to a 5th straight loss. In 12 innings, the Stros beat the A's 6-4. And the Angels were 13-3 winners at Seattle. Albert Pujols with a homer and 5 RBIs. San Francisco 8-1 winners at Baltimore. The Orioles with the worst record in the majors, 18-41. Max Scherzer of Washington, 8 innings, 15 strikeouts in a win at Cincinnati, 4-1. The Cubs did not have a good weekend. The Brewers did. Milwaukee beat Pittsburgh. Cubs lost again at St. Louis. Cubs game and a half behind. Back to the show in 10 seconds. First, a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know a roof can withstand a lot. One exception being an airborne car. Seen it, covered it. Talk to farmers.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Programming note, the Women's World Cup starts this Friday with host France against South Korea on FS1, then three games on Saturday, three next Sunday. The number one ranked U.S. women don't open till a week from Tuesday on Fox TV, June 11th. They get to face number 34 ranked Thailand. There aren't even 34 teams in the tournament.
Nice.
And on June 16th, another break, the U.S. women will face number 39 ranked Chile. So the first two games should be walks in the park. And if they're not, something is wrong. Anyway, you two. Aaron is, for those who are not with us, Aaron is here because Chris Plank had an Oklahoma softball game they didn't expect to play late tonight in order to advance to the NCAA final.
I'll say this. I don't know how Chris Plank wasn't prepared, because I was watching softball in studio last night, and I said, so if Oklahoma wins today, they're playing tomorrow.
But they wound up having to play two afternoon and an evening game.
Don't
tonight.
Defend Chris Plank.
Wow.
No,
so the evening game ended like 5 minutes after you two started the show tonight.
Well, good thing we didn't ask for Chris Plank. No, but I was like, I wonder if they'll call me in tomorrow. And then I was just going about my day.
Cha-ching.
And then, about 5:30 Pacific time, they said, hey, Arnie can't do this show alone. We need you to come
sit. The boss said, should we call in Torres? I'm like, no!
You know, DeSager, I just thought it was such a nice gesture. Arnie was going to give me the night off. But
that shows you what power he has.
Yeah, the real bosses were like, he can't handle this show by himself. DeSager's going to help, but can you come in and just hold his hand for
If Arnie's got more clips to play from past TV shows he's been on, by all means, keep hosting.
Yeah, we may hear some of that before the end of the show.
Good.
Thanks to Sagers. Mm-hmm. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 50% or more in car insurance with Geico. All you have to do is go to geico.com or give them a call, 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. By the way, I didn't get to ask Bernie the odds on this, so I'm going to ask you, Torres. I know you're not
I'll give you an answer. I'll make it up, but I'll give you an
answer. Make it up. The odds of Kerr calling into my show 2 weeks from today after they win the NBA championship.
Okay, so I'm not great at multiplication, but zero.
I'm saying 101%. No doubt.
Zero times zero is still zero, right?
I promise you, if they win the championship, and people are like, do you call him? No, I don't even have to call him because we went to high school together. We went to college together. We're BFFs. Or
first of all,
close friends or acquaintances, or we may know each other, but no doubt he will call into his BFF from Pacific Palisades High School and University of Arizona. He's got to call in, doesn't he, or what?
First of all, you're convinced that this series is only going five games, so the series, he'll be in the Bahamas drinking a Mai Tai by 2 weeks from tonight.
He'll have to call me from the Bahamas then.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Wow.
You think he's on the Bahamas drinking a cold beverage with he can't even pick up the beverage. He's got so many championship rings on his finger, and the first thing he's going to do is say, I'm going to call Arnie Spanier.
Well, the last couple times he did get mad at me because I said he's got a championship or two, and he goes, how many do I have?
How many does he have at this point?
Four? How many? Five?
This will be his fourth as a coach, and I think five as a player.
Yeah, so he kind of got bitter at that. Then he was mad at me after I go, so you hit some game-winning shot? He goes, yeah, no big deal against Utah. He goes, how are your Knicks looking now?
Wow.
So, yeah, he kind of got upset. No doubt, 100% he calls in 2 weeks from today, 100%.
100% for sure.
100%.
I think you forgot the not calls in. I think you forgot
he
the not
says,
of that.
Serious note, what's wrong with Arnie? Why is he always so negative when it comes to the NBA? Is it jealousy? Is it the NBA too hip for middle-aged balding white dudes? Is he trying to be the fat version of Clay Travis? What's his deal? I love basketball. What are you talking about? I especially love college basketball. What exactly did I say that would say that I don't like basketball? Because I think that Golden State's going to come back and win. If I pick Toronto to win, does that mean I do like basketball? I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm following him on this one, Torres.
You did say the Warriors are so good they're not going to lose another game the rest of the series, which
right.
I think it sounds like a compliment to me. It doesn't sound like the ravings.
Why do you think that's far-fetched, by the way? Is that kind of like a crazy opinion, thinking that the Warriors could win three more in a row or what?
Well, I do because this game was so close despite the fact that I don't think that the Raptors played all that well. And then the other thing, too, that we have to remember is that this series, it's no longer 2-3-2, it's 2-2-1-1-1.
Right.
So they would have to win Game 5 in Toronto, which I just don't think is going to happen.
Sam Peep says, if the Warriors win the next three, you should on the air, you should apologize or apologize on the air to Stinking Genius for your softness. Warriors have more talent and experience. Toronto only has a history of choking. Warriors have rings. You're just a Warrior hater.
And you know what I said to Sandeep? I said when both you dope, Sandeep and Arnie Spanier, are wrong that they don't win the next three games to win the series 4-1, I expect an apology from Sandeep. That seems reasonable, right?
And you think this is going seven, right? You're still picking what you pick Golden State in six or seven, I guess.
I pick Golden State in six, yes. And I love how I'm a Warriors hater because I picked them to lose two games in the NBA Finals. So
Brian says all these sports pundits really are ignorant when it comes to the Warriors. They all do not know about Klay Thompson and his injuries. He shakes off injuries off and plays the next game. Warrior fans know this.
He couldn't walk.
Look, there's certainly injuries you can, you know, tough it up. But a hamstring, I don't think, is one of them. I don't think you go running out there on the court with a hamstring being 80% or something to that effect.
He couldn't walk. And I DeSager did bring up the good point that, or was it, I can't remember if it was DeSager or Bernie, one of the two people that makes us sound smart, Arnie, brought up the point that he did have that high ankle sprain in the NBA Finals last year. But first of all, it was the Cavs, and the Cavs were a train wreck outside of LeBron. I think the Raptors are a more balanced team. I think the Raptors will bounce back. But it's also, listen, I understand Klay's tough. No one's arguing that he's not tough. But how many, like, he couldn't walk. Why is it unreasonable to think that he might not be able to play when he couldn't even walk? And we all know that injury is going to tighten up overnight.
He's going to get a MRI on the hamstring. There's no doubt about that. He says he feels confident about Wednesday. As Steve Kerr said, that guy will play if he's on his deathbed. He's going to get out there. I don't know. He's just probably saying he's confident. I don't think he really is. The 3 days rest certainly going to help. But I asked you earlier, does Kevin Durant feel more pressure to come back now if Klay doesn't play? I think he is, but you know, he is Mr. Sensitive.
I'll say this. Your buddy Kurt Heelan, our basketball insider, agreed with you on that, that if Klay can't go, then Kevin Durant's going to feel more pressure. I just think if Kevin Durant's good to go, he's going to go. I don't think he's holding.
You don't think the Klay injury one way or the other is going to force him back early, I guess is what you're saying. You're saying that if he can go, he would go whether Klay's playing or not.
That is my personal belief, yes. I just think that with Durant, I think he wants to play. I don't think he's holding out for the offseason or trying to protect his body for free agency. I just don't think right now he's physically healthy enough to go.
Do you think if he wasn't able to play or he had ruled himself out and then said Klay's not going to play, that then he'll go suit up, or is that too much ass for him?
Say that one more time.
If he wasn't going to play but then found out that Klay Thompson wasn't going to play and then he decided to suit up, or is that too much to ask for him?
No, I think he's just going by how his body feels. And I think if he's good enough to go, he will. But who really knows?
All right, let's get to some picks. When we get back, you can reach us at Aaron_Torres. He's in for Chris Plank. I'm at Stinkin' Genius 1. Our picks are coming up next right here on Fox Sports Radio.
From a hot air balloon landing on a car to a load of concrete falling on one, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Aaron Torres sitting in for Chris Plank tonight. I'm Artie Spanier. Quick show. By the way, Jonathan always writes this in. He goes, the last segment will conclude Fox Sports Radio Weekends. Thank you to all who worked on the weekend. Next is Ben Maller, which starts the 2 a.m. Monday through Friday. Shouldn't we start the week? I mean, we're on at past midnight Eastern, so that's technically Monday. Shouldn't Plank and I take responsibility for that and get lead billing or what?
Why don't you let John have a little fun on social media? Why
wow.
You got to be grumpy and mean?
Wow.
We didn't even get into how you're an ugly American, how you're rooting against the Raptors because they're from Canada.
I'm always the ugly American. You know what? Let me get to some picks. I'll tell you how ugly I am. Give me a little music. Put me in the mood because I told you that the Warriors yesterday, when we did our picks, that they were going to win game two. That's exactly what happened. And I'm not changing things now. Game three is going to be more Warriors, though. It's going to be a great game. Remember, it's going to come down to a last-second three-point shot by Steph Curry that goes in. Golden State wins it 111-110. They go up 2-1. Then they win game 4, 114-108. Go up 3-1. Then they go back to Toronto, win on a last second 3, 108-106. Win 4-1. I turn out to be right. You have to apologize, then we fire you.
First of all, I will not be apologizing to you and Sandeep. I am not going to look ahead beyond Game 3. Listen, I'm like Bill Belichick. I'm just on to Game 3. I'm not worried about Game 4, 5, 6, 7.
I'm just on to Game 3.
I'm just on to Game 3.
Yes.
The Warriors. No Klay Thompson because he can't walk.
You don't think he's going to play?
I don't think he's going to play. No Kevin Durant. My Toronto Raptors.
No.
At Oracle Arena where the Clippers won twice during these playoffs. With future Clipper Kawhi Leonard.
Not this year, back in 2018, but go ahead.
This year? Like, how about a month ago?
Well,
The Clippers won two games?
No, I'm talking about Toronto. They won two games against Golden State, but that was early in the year in 2018.
Listen, I think you're bearing the lead here, Arnie, because here is the bottom line. The Raptors are going to win Game 3, but more importantly, enough with this basketball nonsense, because there's something else that we have to talk about.
Yes.
What is your favorite Chicago restaurant?
Beth! He better know this.
Pizza.
My favorite restaurant.
Maybe they serve pizza, Arnie.
Maybe you go with your other boyfriend. I forgot.
Shut up, studio audience.
Max and Benny's, Arnie.
Do they serve pizza there at least?
No.
No,
that's
Arnie.
Back to your seat, Arnie.
Torres, if you were betting, you would have bet that we didn't win the newlywed game the way you were talking.
So for people who don't know, Arnie was on the newlywed game about 100 years ago. It actually
105 years ago it was. Actually.
It wasn't on TV. It was on radio because they didn't have TV back then.
But it wasn't with Bob Eubanks. I have to go ahead and put that in there.
And that was one of Arnie's answers.
That was horrible.
We have another one, by the way. I don't know how much time we have to play, if we have time to play
go ahead,
or not.
Squeeze it in there.
What's your favorite TV show? Beth.
He better know that.
I would say Cops.
That's like the dumbest answer ever.
What is it, Beth?
What do I watch every Thursday night?
No. What was it? Melrose? No, not Melrose Place. I don't know. I give up.
What is it, Beth?
What is it?
I'm so embarrassed. ER.
Oh, ER.
Gosh, my wife sounds so young.
Okay, I like Cops, though. So. Yeah.
Thinking of yourself again, Arnie.
I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry.
Tell the host to shut up, too.
She definitely
fed up with that guy.
That poor woman was watching ER, still looking for her man of dreams, the man of her dreams. She never did find him, but hey, at least you guys have been married.
I want you to know something. I remember telling my wife, I go, hey, don't get used to me. It's not like we're getting married. I'm dating a lot of models now, so don't get used to me.
How come your pony, you didn't have the ponytail on the new
No, I didn't have the ponytail
Why?
Back then. That was, the ponytail, the mustache, that was gone.
That was like your trademark, besides bad answers and not knowing your wife.
Exactly.
That's your
trademark. First of all, thanks for filling in. We certainly appreciate it. Chris Plank appreciates it. He had to do Oklahoma softball at the last minute because the games ran late. Thanks to the guys back in Los Angeles, Bobo, Lee DeLapp, our producer, and of course, Steve DeSager on the updates. I'll be coming out next month to L.A., so we'll have to get together lunch on you.
Wow.
Course,
No.
All right. So lunch on me when I come out. Big Ben Maller coming up next right here on Fox Sports Radio.